and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Well, I got thoughts. That's the good news. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Call in. I love talking to folks. Please call that number.
You're a people person.
I am. I watched American Idol last night. Only the first hour. It takes me longer to get, you know, with TiVo, I have to stop and do the commentary for every single person that goes up. My wife is going to throw herself on something that you use. One of the many, she hasn't decided yet, quite frankly. There's that rack by the fireplace that has four or five implements on it. She hasn't decided which one she's going to fall on yet. She's not going to use the broom or the dustpan, but there's a couple other ones she's talking about falling on.
I don't know.
Because I have to stop. Yes.
I was going to suggest the dustpan because that would actually be a slower, more painful, and distracting death.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think she wants... I think she wants to get it over with.
Oh.
I think that's the whole plan. Speaking of that, this death penalty thing that's been commuted here in California. The whole part about... Well, there's many interesting things. First off, I don't care about people being put to death, especially when you rape and kill a 17-year-old. And we've gotten into this before. My argument, you know, people are like, I don't want to live in a society that does this, and I don't want to live in a society that doesn't do it. You rape a 17-year-old, you pluck her up on her way home from school, you rape her, you kill her, I want you in the ground. Fine with me. You don't want to be put in the ground that way? Well, think about it before you rape and kill. And the thing is, you know, people are sort of like, well, what good does it do? Well, nothing. Doesn't do any good. He's just gone, and there's one less guy raped and killed someone who's walking around on the planet, who's eating, who's going out to the prison yard or working out. To me, it's very simple. There's a lot of people on the planet. It turns out we are pretty expendable. We used to think we weren't. I think we are. People die every day. There's Mexicans getting buried in mines. There's ferries flipping over in Indonesia. There's ferries flipping over in Bill's apartment. They're all... Sorry, Bill. Gay board up Bill. I just caught him out of my peripheral and wanted to work him in. I told him to work him into the news. The point is, you know what? Turns out most people aren't that great. They have nothing to offer. And some people aren't... You know, it's not everyone is precious. Not by a long shot.
Do we need to make arguments now for all of ourselves that there's some reason that we're precious and we need to be alive?
Yeah.
You know, make an argument for yourself, Adam.
You guys are a little bit higher. I say you guys. I don't include myself. You guys are a little bit higher up than the guy who's on death row. Don't get me wrong. But you're still no dolphin.
Well, why shouldn't we kill you?
Well, because without me, you got no show. Then you get no paycheck. And soon you can't score your precious Canadian drugs.
That's true. You know who I feel sorry for is, the whole thing about this execution thing is that they can't find a licensed professional who's willing to inject the lethal dose of barbiturates.
Right.
What guy goes to medical school to be Dr. Death?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be a doctor.
Well, they wanted a well. Why not get Kevorkian on the case? He's already in the joint.
Yeah, but everyone goes to medical school to be a hero. They want to be the person that saves lives, not takes lives.
Let's cut out that middleman already. What has taken the governor so long already? Let's get to the running man already.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, it's been 2 years he's been in there at least already. I thought this was going to be, responsibility number one.
Yeah, it should have been job one, and The whole thing is, well, they need an anesthesiologist to administer the thing, and then they need a backup. It's all over whether this is cruel and unusual punishment. First, they get some sort of shot of phenobarbital or something. It puts them out, and then the poison goes in and kills them. And then the real question is he out? Is he experiencing any discomfort? This, by the way, for a guy who killed somebody with an ice pick. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't know what the guy used to kill the chick, but the point is all the guys that are on death row did not use, you know, morphine before they strangled the life out of the corpse they were raping. They just killed them, and they killed them in horrific ways. It's ironic that these guys were so worried about. And they will have, who ever said that death is going to be good? I mean, we talked about this before. You can get in a car crash on the way home. Car could burst into flames. That's not the greatest way to go. There's many ways you could go. Even, you know, a stroke or a heart attack where you hit the bathroom floor and you're writhing around for a few hours before they find you. That's right, you flatline. My point is why do these guys have a guaranteed pleasant death? I know they're freaked out about their death, but once we decide to put you to death, let's just put you to death. How we put you to death, that's our business. It's cruel and unusual to put them to death where they might experience some discomfort.
Yeah.
He might experience some discomfort.
And then I don't understand if we can't, I mean, you know, I don't, it's not like the electric chair. That always looked like a terrible, terrible way to go.
Even that is over in a millisecond.
There's some guy I read about just a little while ago, and this seemed odd to me, so I got to look it up. He was like grossly overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't put him to death by hanging.
Yeah.
Did you see that? They still hang people?
I didn't know. In this country?
Well, I read it somewhere. I gotta look it up.
Not in this. I don't think in this day and age you're still hanging. There's a couple of different methods they use, but I think you were reading
a Louis L'Amour novel.
They didn't want to put him to death by hanging because he was too overweight and it would decapitate him or something.
Well, finish your legwork on that. I want to figure out where this is going on. Because they don't have morbidly obese in other countries. There's no Filipino that's being hung. When you're from the Philippines and you're like 162 pounds, you're considered morbidly obese.
Yeah, here we go.
That's a strange thing because their next door neighbor, their geographical next door neighbor is Samoa.
Yeah, big folk.
Look at this.
What do you got?
Spokane, Washington.
Yeah.
Mitchell Rupee, a former death row inmate, he was too obese to hang. Died at the Washington State Penitentiary in Walla Walla on Tuesday following a long illness.
Oh, well, he was too obese to hang in 1966 or something? Were they going to do it last week?
Killed two bit. I mean, this story came out in February. I mean, he shot two bank tellers in 1981 and 94. The federal judge upheld his conviction, but thought that it more than four. In 94.
Right. I mean, not that long ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty weird. But if we care, you're right. I mean, it's not like any of the ways to go are that great. We're trying to do it the best we can, but
none of us are going to have that merciful of death.
Why don't we just have them come? Why don't, instead of killing them, let's just send them to your house to watch American Idol while you TiVo it.
Yes. And they will fall on a fireplace poker.
Yeah,
I agree. All right, I'm just saying, hey, look, not everyone's precious. These guys are animals. Just get rid of them. Get rid of them like you put animals down. We're not all precious. And by the way, then what about China? They have billions of people over there. Are they all precious? Is everyone precious? Are there bad people out there? Is it okay? We're hunting terrorists right now. Is it okay to kill them? But they're human beings. There's God created them. So they're a little misguided. Well, let's just put people in the ground.
Well, that's not the logic. I'm against the death penalty. I don't like it as you do. But the one thing I do like about what you think is that at least we wouldn't have to hear from Charles Manson if we had just put him to death 40 years ago.
Yeah, I've cited it before. Timothy McVeigh, we put to death very quickly. Somehow we figured this out. You know, you kill 150 people in Oklahoma City. We put you down within a couple of years. Tim McVeigh got put down pretty quick. I mean, you don't hear from him anymore. Obviously, he's not penning any books. He's not suing the court system. He's not coming up on appeals. There's no parole boards. There's no weird, you know, Barbara Walters or Ed Bradley doesn't go in and do a court an interview from his cell. Nothing. Meanwhile, yes, we have been hearing about Manson for the last 33 years. There's been movies. There's been books. He's taken on a weird cult-like status. Rock stars wearing T-shirts and stuff. They always release some tape that he made with the Beach Boys every 6 months that no one knew about. There's a new movie special in the E! True Hollywood Story. These guys would just be gone, and that'd be it. That'd be that. Done. You'd be doing them a favor, too. You really would.
Yeah, but what would we talk about?
Well, that's a good point. All right.
Mom, do it now!
Next, is that Schwarzenegger?
Sure.
Yeah, right. Nice.
That's what I'm getting back to the
do
Running
it.
Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're going to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's Predator, right?
That was Predator.
Yeah,
yes,
but same guy. You get understand. The other...
La Vista, baby.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, a couple things. One is I was watching the figure skaters being interviewed this morning on CNN after they won their silver, the good-looking chick, and the guy got his citizenship, and they're all perky, and they're saying, it's great to be here, and this is an awesome place, and we're just glad to, you know, it's a thrill. It's a thrill just to be on the ice with the other competitors. And we got the silver, and it's more than we expected, and, you know, we got our fingers crossed for the international meet next month, but we're just thrilled. We're tickled pink to be here, and I was watching. And then you see the snowboarder guy get interviewed, and you see the cross-country skier guy get interviewed, and you're like, and then you realize, what's missing from these athletes? First off, no multiple references to God. No steely-eyed, just won't thank Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. but I thought, each time I watch these athletes being interviewed, I'm like, what's wrong with these guys? They're not real athletes. They're smiling. They're thanking God. They're not saying, no, not at all. Every second word. Do you wish you'd won the gold? No, not at all. You think the fall may have hurt you in the point? No, not at all. But I do want to thank Jesus Christ. And there's nobody but the people on this ice that thought we could do it. There's none of that. There's no yelling at the other guys. There's no proclamations about nobody. We shocked the world. We shocked the world. Nobody thought we could do it. And I thought, wow, this is nice. It's totally devoid from the Olympics. You know, everyone is just sort of, oh, thank you. Oh, it's great to be here. We had the Flying Tomato win the gold on a Tuesday. Wednesday morning, he came in here thrilled. Want to get a picture? You know what I'm saying? What happened to the athletes? These, you know, Brian Gumbel's like, well, these guys aren't athletes really because they're not black. I say they're not athletes because they're not talking about Jesus enough. They just feel like sort of 25-year-old, 180-pound people that seem happy to be interviewed. That's the other thing too. You're not PO'd about the interview. Someone wants an interview. Right now. No, not at all. I want to thank Jesus Christ and nobody. I want to thank my mom. I don't know where my dad is, but I want to thank my mom. I want to thank Jesus Christ and nobody. And all you people. None of you people thought we could do it in the ice dancing. We shocked the world. Where is all that from the Olympics? It's weird just seeing people. They're actually, I keep thinking, oh, they must be getting annoyed with these interviews. This must be horrible for them. And I realize, nah, it's not so bad to be interviewed about you winning a gold medal. Probably feels kind of good. If you're normal, you're not a pompous ass, and you haven't had your ass kissed since the ninth grade, and you weren't recruited coming out of your mom's womb, it's actually kind of nice when people ask you about your success and congratulate you and smile. It's kind of a nice change of pace for these people. Yeah. So, how say you?
I like the, actually, you are getting some controversy with the American speed skaters with Deshaunay Davis.
No, not at all.
not
at all.
The first black man to ever win Olympic gold in the Winter Games.
No, not at all. Are you glad to win the gold? No, not at all. Well, you must be proud to be the first black man. No.
Have a puss on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did in the interview. He did have a puss on, yeah.
Wow, yes. Well, all right.
In fact,
I will provide
that clip for you a little later.
It will be nice one day when we can work that out and have the athletes get... We need to hook these guys up with the NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball. By the way, this doesn't just go down color lines. There's plenty of white blowhards and guys from the Dominican Republic who are blowhards, too. Horrible guys that seem miserable. The fact that they're getting, you know, $22 million a year to play baseball seems to make them miserable. And the press that courts them is just one more thorn. It's a burr in their saddle. Like, oh, Christ, I have to talk to you people again that are helping me make my money. No, not at all. But what about, I swear to God, is there any one of these guys that are going to bring up Jesus Christ? I've not heard it yet. It is so refreshing. I mean, you cannot do an interview with an athlete in the United States where they're not working on Christ the entire time, and I haven't heard it yet. It's almost as if it was banned or something. What is it? Are they atheists? Are people from, you know, Norway and Finland, do they not believe in the great maker? What goes on? How does this work? Or maybe they have a quiet dignity and just leave their faith out of their athletics. Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
Only Americans in the Muslim world elect their officials based on religion, devout religion.
Right. Yeah.
The Europeans are a little more enlightened.
Right. But you can't judge. That I've learned. And one other topic that I thought of this morning as I was brushing my teeth. I was wearing my sweat jacket here. I got my 3 foot worth of rope hanging, you know, it's got the tie string on it. I was brushing my teeth. I did that move where I started to cup my hand and fill my mouth from the sink, and I cupped my hand, and I also cupped the rope that was hanging off my sweat jacket, and I inhaled the rope as I was sucking the thing, and I thought, I should pull it out. And then the other day, I had on my sweatpants, I had the little drawstring come out of one side.
Oh, that is the worst.
And I spent 3 days trying to move it an inch and a quarter to get it through the goddamn thing. And it just started dawning on me, do we need all the ropes and the tassels? And how often do you
tie up? That was what I was just going to tell you. Around the hood, what do you need to tighten the hood around your head for?
Again, this is how I'll die. I'll be riding a moped. This thing will get caught on a high branch, and that'll be that. It's just everything's hanging. It's hanging into coffee. It's getting into my toothbrush. What do we need a goddamn rope on everything for?
Tad, bring some scissors. I want to take the string out of his hood.
Please, please. Release me. Yes.
Can anyone provide the explanation for why you need the rope around the head?
I'll tell you why you need the rope. For two reasons. A, if something horrible happens, your car breaks down, you hit a snowdrift, and you just get socked in, and next thing you know, you have no provisions, you have no cold weather gear, and you have to pull the hood over your head and cinch it up so, you know, you can just get one eye through it. I mean, it's a weird sort of worst case scenario thing.
Adam, what are you going to do when you're hiding from the media? You're not going to be able to hide from the glare of the paparazzi.
No, not at all.
Wait, do it slowly. It's going to feel so good, like popping a zit. Oh.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah. Today, my drawstring. Tomorrow, foreskin.
What?
I meant sweatpants.
Speaking of media,
yes.
I saw yesterday, I took a lunch with Mo and the old man who were still in town, still mm-hmm. beaming from the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat next to I can't think of her name from Spider-Man.
Kirsten Dunst.
Mm-hmm.
Sat next to her. And the paparazzi was parked across the street and with the long lens shooting her toast.
Very hip.
But the paparazzi, Stan, I just thought,
well, they weren't.
What kind of
your
creeps?
Mom was convinced they were shooting you, though.
Yeah.
Look, it's a sports guy.
Maybe. I hope she's not listening right now. This will be dispiriting.
Here's the thing about Kirsten Dunst. First off, I never signed off on her in the hot department. Nothing wrong with her. Cute, not overweight, but not hot. I don't know, guys sort of went along with that. There's a few chicks, and one day, Brusca, we should make a list of who is truly hot, because of this, a fist fight will break out in this room, I guarantee, at some point when we're arguing this. But who is hot, and then who's been sort of foisted on us as hot that we're not really that interested in? As guys.
It's a funny thing you bring that up, because I mentioned this to old Mo and the old man yesterday. I said, it's an interesting thing. The women in Hollywood, you run into them. Some of them, surprisingly good looking. Christina Applegate, for instance. You see her in person, you say, wow, I never really gave her much of a second look, but wow, in person, what a minx.
Right.
Other women, you say, ooh, not as good in person.
It's another good point, yeah.
But the men, every last one of them, they may be short, every one of them, beautiful bastards.
Beautiful.
They are. Every man who's a movie star, you see him, you say, oh, well, no wonder. Matinee good looks.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
No? Name one.
Well,
who's a bad looking?
Okay, Ben Affleck. That one, he's way overhyped.
Have you seen him in person is the point. That's the point. When you see him in person,
the point.
You say, my God.
That's the point. You only have to see him in person.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
I wouldn't mind
getting a list of who's hot, who deserves their hot ranking, and who doesn't deserve it. And then who we never really agreed on.
Yeah.
Like,
didn't sign off on
some of them. And then there's chicks that I recognize as attractive, but please no more, like the Eva Longorias of the world. Like, okay, she's cute. She's nothing wrong with her.
I hear that one for sure.
But who decided that she was the object of all our fancies?
Just to be on the cover of every one of these Maxim kind of magazines?
I will, whenever I watch Entertainment Tonight or any of those shows, I always do a countdown thing with my wife. And it's like, 18 seconds before the first Eva Longoria story. Eva Longoria this, Eva Longoria that. Nothing wrong with her. Cute, attractive. There are many attractive women. I don't know why we have to get into this one. I think that's the scourge of the publicist. I think for some reason they force feed us people. But I don't know a male who says, I'm really into Eva Longoria. There's a lot of guys who'd be like, oh yeah, definitely F her, but as long as we're
fantasizing, I brought this up. I've said this same thing in different circles. I've said, Eva Longoria, really? And guys go, are you crazy? She's unbelievable. She's the hottest thing around. I don't see it at all. I agree with you. I mean, she's fine. She's,
yeah, nothing wrong with her.
People
yeah.
go crazy with her, though, about how foxy. I don't see it at all.
No.
There's hardly anything. There's hardly anything in this world that we're not force-fed. Yeah. I feel like we're force-fed music,
yeah.
television. I mean, all the good. There's good stuff on TV that gets canceled all the time. There's good music that nobody gets to listen to. Probably clothing.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything is force-fed.
You're right. Let's go get a lethal injection. get this over with. All right. Hold on. Someone has an impression. I'm supposed to pick the Warren. Warren?
Yes.
Do you have an impression for us?
No, I don't. This is not Warren. This is L. Ron Hubbard, author of Dianetics.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. I thought it was Warren from Los Angeles.
No. It's L. Ron Hubbard, author of Dianetics. Yeah, I'm in heaven, man.
How's it going?
Which heaven? Your own heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
aren't you in space? What do you mean you're in heaven? Aren't you in on some extra planetary?
No. It turns out they were right, man. It's heaven's real, dude. I'm up here, man. It's freaking cool. Turns out the heavenly hosts sound just like Zeppelin, man.
Has anybody ever heard L. Ron Hubbard to actually know what an impression of him sounds like?
I recognize his voice.
I'm telling you, man, L. Ron Hubbard, myself, you know, I'm a genius, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about...
I was just thinking about L. Ron's wife as he was hammering out Dianetics in 1961 at his, kitchen table. Ron, come on, buddy. Put the paper away. No, I'm going to fire up my own religion. I'm working on a book. Please, Dr. Blowhard, how about you get out and mow the lawn?
Stuff. Don't break my train of thought.
This is... yeah. Ron, Siri, L. Ron, yeah, right. What's L for, loser?
I guarantee you I can convince those idiotic celebrities to follow me. This is hilarious.
Yeah, I'm just curious where he was when he cracked out that manual for life, and if he had a wife, and if he did, she was pissed. She was like, what the F are you doing? You could be working with my father in his nude furniture factory. Instead, you're crapping out this stupid manuscript that no one's going to read. All right, let's take ourselves.
Well, it was a bet, you know. It was a bet with somebody.
I know, a friend of mine.
Was it?
Yeah. He said, I bet you I can create a religion that people will follow. And he obviously won the bet.
Wow. Someone would have been nicer if someone would have. Yeah.
Well done.
I wish someone would have bet him that he couldn't crossbreed a mango with a guava or something like that. Like, I could use another fruit.
Worthwhile.
I'm running out of fruit. Yeah, with something tropical. Let's take a break. Is Pat O'Brien calling in?
Yep.
All right, we'll talk to him after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Pat O'Brien is going to be calling in soon, my kiddies. Louis C.K., extremely funny comedian, is going to be coming in. Jeff Conway, he is, he went a little nuts on that Celebrity Fat Farm show. But you know him from Taxi in Greece, and we'll see how he's doing. We got news, we got sports. First, a new thing we've started yesterday, which is what can't Adam complain about? I realize I can complain about almost anything, as I learned over the weekend when I was waiting for a Ferrari to arrive to my house. Now, again, not an expensive Ferrari. Fairly cheap Ferrari. It's like $33,000, which may sound like a lot, but it's not that much for a Ferrari. It's about as cheap as they come. And I was waiting for it, and it never showed up, and my weekend was ruined because my Ferrari did not arrive. And I thought, wow, what can't I complain about?
Well, there are plenty of salty pills in the world.
Yes.
You know, who can... Who, you know. acidic sorts, but I mean, you're the saltiest of them all. You are the world champion of complainers. Complain about all.
Which is weird because I'm normally in a pretty decent mood, and like to think of myself as someone who's you wouldn't mind going out to dinner with or seeing a movie with. I'm not one of these bummers. You know, there's a lot of people that are sort of depressed, and they're constantly under this sort of this cloud of depression around them, talking about how evil the world is and about how the man is trying to take you down and all that. I'm not really that way. I have a lot of stuff I'm interested in. I just like to complain about it.
People should maybe try to call in and stump you. See if they can find something you can't. Like yesterday,
I don't think there's anything I can't complain about.
Complained about organ donors yesterday. I thought that was something you couldn't possibly complain about. Boobs.
Yeah.
You found a way to get down on boobs.
Boob donors. Now, there's something I probably couldn't if you'd combine the two. 866-901-ADAM. Christian, our 13-year-old comedian, before we get started on
this,
is called in. He has some new material for us. Christian? Didn't I punch him up? Oh, Christian? Let's see.
Hello?
Christian?
Yeah.
How are you, brother?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. You got a joke for us?
Yes, I do.
And it's not really a joke. You started off with a joke, and then we got you into the observational humor. And you've been off and running ever since, right?
It's got about, at last count, probably about 4 minutes of material.
Maybe more. What do you got for us today, Christian?
This time I got a joke on Monopoly.
Monopoly. Yeah. All right. Do your bit.
Board games are probably one of the earliest forms of entertainment, and Monopoly is probably one of the first. I now know why we like video games more than Monopoly. It's not the graphics, the story, or the controller. It's got to be the time.
Mm.
Think about it. You lose a video game against your friend. What do? You call a rematch. It takes about 3 minutes every level. When was the last time you called a rematch in Monopoly?
No.
That's
6 days,
When you lose, you realize you're not going to get those 7,000 hours back. On summer break, my friend asked if I wanted to play Monopoly at his house, and I said, I'm sorry, my mom and I were planning on taking a trip to my grandma's next week.
Working grandma, I like that.
In video games, you don't mind losing because the deaths are quick and painless. When you play Monopoly, it's a slow, torturous wait till the point where going to jail is your best option. Then you know you're going to lose the second you mortgage anything. The person who loses is always the person that was winning in the beginning, aren't they?
Yeah.
You go from my own half the board to I'll give you 3 Monopolies in place of paying rent, please. I'm probably not going to use the top hat.
Nice work, Christian. Are you done?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice job.
Wow.
Yeah. Never heard
best
any Monopoly humor.
I think that's his best material yet,
It's solid, yeah. He's got to go to grandma's next week. Yeah, I still like... I realize now that me and my sister could fight over anything when there were long, drawn-out battles as to who was the iron and who was the hat and who got to be the shoe. This is all we had, kiddies.
Well, I used to, you know... I mean, it was amazing how many times I could cheat at that game without getting caught by my sisters.
How do you cheat a Monopoly?
You hide the money under the board, and then you just pull it out at the appropriate moment. You just say, you distract them, look over there, someone famous. And when they turn to look, you pull the money out, right?
Kristen Dunst, look. Yeah, but it's not really cheating. I mean, you're not really stealing, but you're cheating.
Right, I'm just taking money. I'm pilfering money.
Christian?
Stuff.
Yep.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Call us back next week.
Hey, Christian is going to be, if he works up enough material, we're going to have him do a set out here somewhere, like the Improv or something, right?
Yeah, he's going to do a middle spot at a gymboree.
If there are any, other, you know, under 18s or under 16s, you know, who have material too, aspiring
maybe,
comics.
Maybe he can open for Louis C.K. Yeah. Say it again, Shaq. I'm sorry.
I think, if you know, anyone 16 or younger... You know, what better school to study at than the school of the Ace Man if you want to become a comedian?
Thank you.
True?
Yeah. I mean,
Young people,
not at all.
I say fat to school.
Yeah.
It gets you nowhere.
No.
Study at this school.
That's right.
Under the Ace Man. Become a comedian.
That's right. Kneel at the hem of my garment, my flock. Yes.
He'll counsel you.
Chris?
Yes.
You know the story about the fat guy hanging?
Yeah, but first I got to do an Adam
Carolla. I'm trying to replace the pool game Marco Polo with Adam Carolla. It's been a while.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Rachel Perry was talking about the guy from Oregon who is going to, or was going to hang, but he was too fat to hang. You know the story on that?
Yeah, your screener kind of had the inside scoop, too. I'm actually in Oregon. He's over in Washington. After he was convicted, he got to take the choice on his death.
Mm-hmm.
He chose the hanging. Ultimately, you know, scheme between him and his attorney, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
He fell so fast that the probability of him becoming decapitated during the hanging became cruel and unusual.
Ah.
He gets to stay.
Mm.
But ironically, getting fat after being skinny apparently killed him.
All right. Well, that's good. Maybe there is a Lord. Well, thank you. Yeah, and this other stuff where we give you your choice, what do you want to eat, how do you want to die? Let's just kill you. But by the way, it's not like we went out, walked out onto Beverly and La Brea, grabbed a random citizen and dragged him into the clink and then said, sorry, we're going to have to kill you. Listen, nobody feels worse about this than me. What would you like? You want some Kentucky Fried Chicken? You want to go a little Taco Bell? What do you need? What do you like? Well, what kind of soda do you like? We'll give you something. And by the way, don't worry. We're going to put you down. It'll be merciful. We'll give you a little sedative, and then we'll start entering it. Here's the reason we're killing you. You choked the life out of a teenager and effed their corpse. That's why we're killing you. Yes, I agree. If we just stopped people on the street and dragged them in, like, look, we have a quota to fill. We have to kill 200 citizens a year. Your number just came up. No one feels worse than me. I know you're a doctor and you do nothing but charitable work and pro bono work. And I feel horrible. Look, we're going to make this as comfortable as humanly possible. We're killing you because you killed somebody in a horrific fashion. That's why we've decided to kill you. It's not random.
Silent breed is people!
You've been in there for 12 years. People sort of forget why you're in there, and then it just seems like they're in there. And to the liberal pusses who hang out on the outside, it's just as if these guys are just in there. Look at him. He's just in there. Well, look, come on. Let's not do anything rash or hasty here. He's just in there. No, he's in there because he choked the life out of a 17-year-old and had sex with her corpse.
And how is it that they didn't plan for this ahead of time? Like, he's been in jail for a long time. They knew they were going to kill him. The execution date was coming up. You didn't have all those years to find a doctor who was willing to perform the injection.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know what?
Those guys backed out at the last second. Pat?
I never understood that last meal situation. Do they cater a meal in?
Yeah.
Or is it prison food?
They will cater a meal in. If you say, now I don't think they're going to, you know, get the pigs that sniff out truffles or anything.
Right.
And the good news is these guys don't have a hoity-toity taste, a lot of them. They just want some Popeyes or something.
I insist you fly in Wolfgang Puck.
They will send out, they will go to Del Taco. They will go to the Colonel.
Have Emeril come in. Bam! You know?
Emeril comes in. You got a hostage situation. Bam. You shoot Emeril. Pat, God love you for coming on the show again.
Good morning, Adam. Good morning, gang. How are y'all today?
We're doing great. Thanks. The Insider. I watched it last night. Pat is going to be talking to Roy Horn. Is that tonight?
Roy is not tonight. Roy's been on last weekend, and we'll have him on again, but we had him in Vegas a couple weeks ago. And he's starting to walk already, so he's doing his rehab. He's getting up and about.
Now, how is he? Because I know he puts on a sort of a game face and puts himself together and everything for the camera, but being in person, being there with him in person, how did he strike you?
Well, he's not 100%. He's probably around 60% at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It takes him a while to get his brain to tell his legs to start moving, and that's just part and parcel of the injuries he had. But they, both him and Siegfried, say that they'll probably be back on stage sometime in the future. I don't think it's going to be the near future, but they're going to go back on stage.
That'll be hilarious.
Well, you say...
I don't think hilarious is the word you want to use. The guy had an accident.
Come on, Shaq. I know.
I was out of line.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too. I got to say, I feel partially responsible because when I was in Vegas doing Crank Yankers with David Allen Greer and a couple other Yahoos about 4 years ago, I think, or this was months before the accident. Maybe it was 3 years ago or something. How long's it been, by the way, since the accident?
A little over 2 years.
Yeah, that's about 2 years, I think.
Yeah, this is probably 2.5, 3 years ago. I said, we're going to see Siegfried and Roy. And they said, are you kidding? We're going to go do, see Blue Man or some hipster show. And I said, no. We're going to see Siegfried and Roy. And they said, why do you want to do that? And I said, you know why? Because in 1975, somebody said, some young hip guy said, let's go see Elvis. And you guys, your parents said, oh, we're not going to see that old bloated has-been. We're going to go see Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They're playing over at Whiskey Pete's. Well, now don't you wish you'd seen Elvis? Don't you wish you'd seen him?
Now, that's good, solid.
Right. Now, here's where the curse part came in. Okay. I said, one of these guys could get hit by a car tomorrow, and that would be it. And then you'd want to say you'd seen Siegfried and Roy. And then we went, and a few weeks later, a few months later, pow.
Now, do you have the same argument for, like, Celine Dion?
No, but I'm going to. I'm trying to work my wife into this. That argument does, it has its limits, but yes.
Or, you know, had you used the same argument for somebody like Danny Gans?
Yeah, I should use that. One day, you'll want to tell your grandkids you saw a guy do a bad George Burns.
Right. who are the other staples in Vegas?
I don't know, but we're going to be there March 9th, and we're going to see every single one of them.
You doing the show from there?
That's right. That is right. What's that?
Fantastic.
Thanks. Nancy Kerrigan has also been dispatched to Torino, yes?
Yes. We're not as dumb as we look. We chose Nancy to go over and cover it for us because it's hard enough covering the Olympics. I mean, it's just you're there with a million other journalists. And not exactly a million, but close to it seems.
Right.
And Nancy is able to, you know, she knows all the athletes. They gravitate towards her. And she's able to get them to come over, and then she's smart enough to get the story. So she's done a great job for us.
It's smart. She does a good job. She's made a nice transition. But it's smart to take somebody who's won gold and who people recognize to go over there and talk to them, as opposed to some schlub that no one wants to talk to, like Big Cat.
Yeah.
And also, though, I was watching last night. She was doing, I think, a eating disorder story. And I thought, I've heard more eating disorder stories in the last 3 weeks than I have in my entire life. Is this the new black?
It is the new story. And there's a lot of people who have eating disorders. And, you know, it's on the covers of magazines, and we cover them, and the other shows cover them. And it's a legitimate...
I saw you guys put the makeup on the anorexic twins over in Australia.
Whew, that was tough to watch, I got to say.
The anorexic twins are part of the Australian 60 Minutes documentary that seems to have an endless amount of parts to it.
Yeah. Combined weight less than Tad's right leg, by the way. The two twins, yeah. Are they on the mend, the anorexic twins, or are they getting worse?
They sent this doctor over to help them out, and apparently they've agreed to be helped. And so having said that, I would say that they are on some sort of mend, yes.
I don't know. It's one of these things.
By the way,
yes.
And you'd laugh. But that is a compelling story. I mean, that ended up on the cover of Newsweek. Right?
No, I'm not laughing. It's just, it's weird. It is, there's certain things that are hard to watch. It's like watching an animal being beaten or something, you know, once in a while that something gets picked up on the nanny cam and you see the dog getting kicked around the kitchen. You have to almost look the other way. That, anorexia and homosexual sex are the two things where I have to stare at the floor and hold my hand up when it's going on. Otherwise,
well,
I won't be able to...
You spend some of that money you're making now,
yeah,
and get yourself a couple of TiVos.
Yeah, I
get the double TiVo.
I do,
or
I do
those at once.
You know, I'm trying to think if there was a anorexic gay porn where they had sex with dogs and smacked them. That would be the ultimate thing I couldn't watch.
Whose idea was it to send the anorexic twins though out for a day of beauty? I don't know if that was addressing
Pat's.
The issue.
That was actually Adam's idea.
That was Pat's idea.
Doesn't floor anymore.
All right, everyone. Pat O'Brien, God love you for calling in. The Insider. Check your local listings. I see it at 7:30 out here every night. We'll not miss it, Pat.
We're proud to have you as a loyal viewer. Okay?
I am loyal. Loyal isn't a strong enough word for my viewership. All right, thank you, Pat O'Brien. We'll take a quick break. Then when we come back, we'll play What Can't Adam Complain About?
This is Louis C.K. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll try to make this fast since we're running late. We discovered a new game we fell in love with yesterday called What Can't Adam Complain About? I realize I can complain about almost anything. These are topics I've not seen in advance. And you bring them up, and I complain about them. So, sight unseen, Rachel, you want to go first?
Gold medal complaint.
Yeah, I was given a list of things that maybe would work. I'm just going out of left field. Greenhouses.
Got nothing.
Wow.
Got nothing.
You have to care in the first place at all about
it,
right?
Here's the thing. People that work in the greenhouses, way too interested in what's in the greenhouses. You know, they conduct tours. This one started as a bulb. This one started as a seed. Just go ahead and make with the raspberries in winter, honey.
All right, how about this one? Mother Teresa.
Overrated. And not great in the looks department, I got to tell you either. Barely effable. Barely. I could probably get it going for her, but I don't know. You know? And this whole thing, you know, it's like they want to make her a saint, but they're like, well, in order to be, and this is our religion, you know, we make fun of the Muslims all day long, and this is our retarded religion, you know. Well, she can't maintain her state. She cannot become a saint unless she has some miracles. And they have to be, you have to have like a court appointed stenographer who witnesses the miracles. Otherwise, she doesn't get sainthood status. How about saving a couple million people of the world's people? Not enough? You got to turn a fish into a piece of bread, or what goes on? You spend your entire adult life sleeping on a dirt floor in Pakistan saving lepers. Not good enough to get you the saint status.
Yeah, I think those magic tricks that Jesus supposedly performed 2,000 years ago probably just passed along word of mouth.
Yeah,
probably not many witnesses for the magic trick.
Oh, come on. He turned water into wine. Ben?
Hey, how say you, Adam?
You have a topic?
Yeah, how say you, Adam?
I say yay.
Very good. All right. Can't complain about John Elway.
Nah, big gums. Big teeth, big gums. And he's selling used cars. I don't trust a guy who sells cars.
And he owns an arena football team.
He owns an arena. Between the used cars and the arena football, he cannot be trusted in a mammoth horse like gums.
Arena football.
All right. John Elway, don't like him. James?
Free non-taxable solar-powered roofing.
Yeah, too expensive. This technology
is free.
Technology, well, the sun is free, but the technology is hundreds of thousands of dollars. The technology's been around for like 60 years and it's still friggin' expensive. What's going on? We should have been working on this.
If they're offering it to you for free.
Who's offering it to me for free?
Builders.
Who? Yeah, but these are hypotheticals. You're saying if somebody decided to come over to my house and install a solar-powered roof for free?
Sure. How could you complain about that?
But what if 1,000 angels decided to give me a handy? You're not playing the game right. How dare you? That was nothing short of an attack. I can complain about our callers playing What Can't Adam Complain About. That's what I can complain about. All
right. It's this sort of dirty pool that's going to ruin the sport.
It really
it sullies the sport.
And it ruins it for all of us. Last one, John.
Hey, I want to know, the recycle roller.
Can I complain about that?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't design my recycle roller properly. This is a chute that you use to throw the recycled goods out of the house. I put one in at Kimmel's as well, so the bottles don't stack up. Mine, I didn't design right. It's got a flap on the outside that always gets propped up because a bottle gets stuck in it, and the cold wind just blows into the kitchen right at nad height, too. So I don't like mine.
What
in general, I do like the name, though. What's that?
What about insects? You get insects coming in?
No, I don't get vermin coming in. I'm not gonna fabricate it, but it's noisy. It's metal. It's noisy and it's cold. I didn't do a good job on the prototype.
Yeah.
Thank you. Takes a big man, a big man, to admit he didn't do a good job on his own recycle roller prototype. We'll take a quick break. Be back with news and sports after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, 866-901-ADAM. Louis C.K. coming in. Hilarious comedian Louis C.K. is coming in. Also, I think Roy from Siegfried and Roy is going to call in at some point, too. Obviously, can't come in person. Jeff Conaway is going to come in as well. And try to get to the bottom of him. Last time I saw him on that Celebrity Chub Club, he was going nuts.
Oh, that's a new one. That's a good one.
Celebrity Chub Club?
Yeah.
I'll write that down. That's what we'll call it. It was one of these things, too, that's funny when a guy starts off with an apology and then 2 minutes into it starts dropping the F-bomb again. He went out there and he said, he had that part where he has to go in front of the board and he said, look, I just want to apologize for my actions. Last time I was here, I was out of line. I know you guys are trying to help and I lashed out against you and for that I apologize. And they were like, well, all right, So we're going to need you to lose some weight. Why? You think I'm fat? Next thing you know, it's on again. He's telling them all to F themselves. I just love an apology that turns. I like when apology turns into F you again. That's when I've had a few of those in my life, and there's nothing better. It feels so good. All right, it's great, and both ends of it are great. It's great to be the guy who came to apologize, who's telling the other person F off, and it's great to be the person who started to get the apology and is now being told F off. It's ironic. It's one of the better parts of life. All right, so Rachel Perry is now poised with the news.
Lots of news today. In California, a death row inmate who brutally tortured and raped a 17-year-old girl escaped death for the second time when his execution was delayed indefinitely because they can't find a licensed professional to inject the lethal dose.
Get Kevorkian. He's already in the joint. They just transfer him over to the prison that they need. He's a doctor. He's board certified. Transfer him over to the prisons that need the lethal injections, and they need the doctors, and get Dr. Death over there. See what I'm saying? Let's put these guys to work.
Exactly.
He's my hero, that Kevorkian.
Despite mass opposition, President Bush has said he will veto any attempt to stop an Arab company from operating 6 major U.S. East Coast ports.
Yeah.
If there was any chance that this transaction would jeopardize the security of the United States, it would not go forward. The company will not manage port security. The security of our ports will continue to be managed by the Coast Guard and the Customs.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to continue to be managed by the folks that let NBC News bring the depleted uranium right in through the port of Los Angeles and drag it on a flatbed through downtown Los Angeles? Is it that security we're worried about losing? Because these guys are doing a crack job. You know, the guys we currently have in there that check every 128th container, those guys, the underfunded guys that got one dog and two guys with a GED, those guys we're worried about replacing? I thought the whole story was a few years ago that we had no port security. Wasn't that the whole thing? There's nobody over there. We don't have enough guys. NBC drags, or ABC, or whoever it was, drags their depleted uranium. They put it in a container ship in Bahrain, and then they send it through here, and they unpack it, and they put it on a flatbed, and they truck it right through downtown Los Angeles, totally undetected. Is it we're worried about replacing?
Yeah, man, if the Arabs...
Yeah, we lose them, we're screwed.
Yeah, but I think it's a sort of an ironic choice.
I agree.
Put the Arabs in charge of it.
Seems a little
weird for Benny Layden to be the one going through the stuff that's coming into our country.
Well, but you can't judge. They're not all that way. They're not all terrorists, just 99.9% of them. And I'm just saying, you want to lose the crack staff that let the spent uranium go through downtown?
Yeah.
I say no. Those people need to work.
Well, if this Arab company was planning on doing anything, I mean, they, like you said, the security's so bad anyway. You know,
right.
Why do they need to start controlling the ports? They just sort of have free reign anyway.
Yeah. Eh. What you said?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. 12 psychics have been trying to help find the missing whippet, Vivi, from the talk show.
This 12 psychics combined weight 400,000 pounds.
They say that the whippet...
Psychics are fat anyway, but when you put the chicks together who do the pet psychic stuff, now you have you just have ballast at this point.
They say she's alive. She's warm.
And by body of water.
And
stream,
she's in a building.
Stream. Oh, building.
But there's like 500 buildings around the airport.
Well,
didn't we do an interview? We had someone do an interview with one of the dog psychics from the thing.
We got to find this dog.
In a related note about dogs, a San Francisco garbage removal company wants to start recycling dog crap and use it to... get the methane from it and you know, make stoves work.
Well, it's a form of fuel, the dung is. And, the American Indians have been burning it on the land for many, many years. Still do, probably. They use it to power the pinball machine, the slot machines over in the casino.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, what do you think turns
that?
That's
what that smell is.
That's what the smell is, yeah. No, and, you know, there's the guy who invented the Segway... is now his next invention is a little generator that's powered off animal dung that he can give to the third world nation so that they can go out to the middle of the Sudan, plug one of these things in, start piling it with cow chips, and watch some TV.
That's what I was going to ask
Pat
you.
O'Brien.
You said dog poop. It's only the dog poop, or will any poop do?
I think almost any poop will do, but it's interesting.
People do.
Poople do sounds like one of the worst omelets. I'll have the Denver, a cottage or hash browns. I'll have the poople do. Scrambled. Not omelet size. Scrambled, please. Yeah.
Sounds like one of those new dog hybrids they're coming out with.
I like to, I don't know why I'm thinking poople do. Toyota presents
Say
the poople do.
It's funny.
Poople do. You know what I like? I don't know why I thought this, but we're talking about breakfast. You know when you go out to breakfast with somebody and they order and they want the beverage with the meal? My dad will always do that. I'll have a small orange juice with the meal. Okay. The thing just gets slapped down immediately in front of them. Every time. It's fun to watch the folly of the person trying to get the beverage with the meal. Oftentimes when my dad orders it, the waitress will just reach behind her and slap it right down. Here you go, old man. There you go. Enjoy that.
I like that his willpower isn't strong enough to watch the juice in front of him.
How about, yeah, what are you, junkie? Just slide it to the edge of the table and stare at it for 40 seconds before the eggs come, old man. Yeah, that one's fine. Like, with the meal. And here's what with the meal means. It either means this second or not at all. That's what with the meal means. It never means with the meal. All right, keep going, everyone. Keep ordering with the meal. All right.
Now, in entertainment, James Bond fans are threatening to boycott the new 007 movie because they don't like the new Bond, Daniel Craig, replacing Pierce Brosnan. They started a website called craignotbond.com.
Nerding.
Who knew there were still fans of James Bond? Didn't we all agree about
Bond?
Didn't we agree about 30 years ago Sean Connery was the only Bond, and ever since then, who cares about these pictures?
Yeah, and then it's just a movie. Right. Well, Lynch over here has strong feelings on it.
I don't know.
Which
I
is
like
sad.
Bond.
They're all, look, I like Bond movies too.
And I like Pierce Brosnan.
I like them too.
I want to go to the website right now.
Yeah. The idea that they have to boycott, though, I suggest they have nothing better to do, and I'm sure these folks have bigger fish to fry, namely getting laid. Namely, taking the Band-Aid off the bridge of the glasses they're wearing and namely moving out of the folks' house. These are all top priorities for these people. They should focus on those.
Now, Adam, I don't want to run out of time here because I was going to do a little idle talk.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
you want to go a little
I'm
idle talk?
I'm ready to go.
I'm going to start by playing a little clip from one of my favorites to win, Kelly Pickler. Here she is.
Here's why I can't enjoy life. I watched this last night with my wife, and she's like, I'm from Tennessee, and my daddy's locked up, and so grandpa's watching the show, and I'm 19, and I've never been on an airplane before. And my wife's like, oh, she is so darling. I'm like, oh, she's a handful. Imagine
what?
This nut job. Dad's in the joint. You become daddy. She takes it out on you. The dynamics, the psychodynamics of this broad with the dad in the jail and you never leaving Mississippi, whatever. What a handful.
Oh, I tried,
man.
For the sake of this show, for the sake of keeping up to speed with you when you start talking idol. I watch a little of this mm-hmm. season. What am I missing here?
Nothing.
Listening to people who are above average talents but not great singers sing crappy songs.
No.
Well, what gives?
Yes.
It's the especially with Kelly Pickler. For me, it's like she's by far the most nervous person, but she's
I like that.
And she's vulnerable, and she's so sweet. And she was singing that song to her dad, like she's got such a troubled.
She's in jail.
Hey, I know, but I feel her pain. Like I just when I see her come on TV,
right.
I start crying.
All right, but let me say this: I agree. She's trembling. You want to take care of her.
Yeah.
She's like a puppy out in the rain. But
you
here,
want her to succeed.
But here's the thing: there's a couple things. First off, they half the chicks are 17, and it's like I'm not going to give up on my dream. No one can burst. What dream? You're a junior in high school. My dream was to get a cinnamon roll from the snack shack in high school during nutrition when I was 17. Here's the whole thing. Before age 30, don't talk to me about your shattered dreams. You get nothing before 30. I don't want to hear about any 21-year-old washouts or 17-year-olds who never made it to the top of the charts. Number one. Number two, they're always doing this thing where, you know what, I like that Kelly Pickler. You know, you have Paul Abdul, who's talking about how much he likes Pickler. He's like, she's no diva. She doesn't have the attitude. She's 19. She's never been on a plane before. Give her 3 platinum records, an entourage, and 3 or 4 tours with Garth Brooks. I'll show you some diva attitude. Of course you don't have diva attitude. You have 50 cents in the bank and your dad's in the joint.
Yeah, thank but you. what about Brenna? That's the girl that the I'm posing. She was posing.
Oh,
all
with the blue eyes.
She's got green attitude. Eyes.
Yeah.
She was the one that
bad voice.
Yeah, black I don't hair. Know. Do you have Brenna? Do you want to?
Black hair and green eyes. That one, good looking one.
Shoot.
Did you watch the show?
No, I watch it. Yeah, she's the one that was like.
I didn't see this one, no. There's the one with the hot one with the twin sister.
Yeah, no. And I don't think she's that hot. You could turn Brenna off for a second.
She thinks she's hot, so I'll just go ahead and call her that.
I don't think she's that hot. But this Brenna girl, she's the one. She's got all sorts of attitude, and she's got nothing. She's got all that. She's the one that's crazy with attitude.
All right. Relax.
And you want to talk crazy.
Yeah. I do.
Stevie's the one that I think is crazy. She's the opera singer one.
Yes, she does seem nuts.
And I don't think she can even... Her singing's crap.
Yeah, she's all over the road.
She's like a Mariah Carey, who is...
Yeah.
This is crap. Mariah's a trained opera singer who...
Yeah.
She's got a little of the crazies.
She's Mariah Carey with an A cup who has a voice that's all over the road.
Yeah.
Not a great combo.
Now, one of the favorites, of course, from last night, Paris. This is the last one I'm going to play.
Sassy.
You like this girl. We got to hear this. She is awesome.
Yeah.
17.
Not going to give up on her dreams. That's what I love about her. And she has that squeaky voice, which suggests to me she was molested. Again, one of the many TiVo pauses I have to do with my wife. Explain the ritualistic abuse that she took place at the hands of her stepfather. My wife, who's now ready to fall in the fireplace poker. Yeah. All right.
I feel like they want to succeed so that they can prevent this sort of things from happening to other people.
Yeah.
They don't want their
they want a better
people.
Life.
They want a better life, and they want to provide a better life for their family.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So there
I'm
you
watching.
Go.
I'm watching.
Call me Paula Abdul. I do not care. I'm Rachel. I'm Paula Abdul, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Sports. Do it, Dave.
Winter games in a moment. But first, NBA last night. Clippers downed by Dallas. They lose their fourth straight. Oh, no. Get it together,
yeah,
L.A.
Yeah, they're doing so well, too.
Now, the other team in L.A., the Kobe's, they beat up on poor Portland. Seattle lost at San Antonio. Sacramento over Golden State. Wonder if the governor, if he takes a rooting interest, if it's sad for him when one of his state's teams beats the other state.
Oh, if you're not kicking that ball, he's not interested.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Yeah. Now,
that's
back idiots. To what's going down
that's
in
child
Torino.
Abuse. It really is. You get your kid involved in soccer at an early age, and then that's the only sport for him for the rest of his life. You want to talk about abuse? I would rather an uncle hold me down every summer for 5 years and do something weird to me than grow up following soccer and loving soccer and not understanding football and saying, it's not a real sport to every sport except for the one where the slow white guys kick the ball around.
I get upset about the Norwegians, of course, about Norway having so many medals, but I guess the bright side of it is that they're cross-country skiing or playing soccer.
They have to go home to their soccer.
Exactly. Now, the ladies, they're skating off the hook, yo.
Yeah.
Short program yesterday. American Sasha Cohn, slight lead on the unfortunately named Ivana Slutskaya.
Said it before, world's worst vodka.
They finish off the
Slutskaya.
They finish it all off tomorrow. I don't know how I'll bide my time until
It's going to be tough.
Speed skating yesterday, the big rivalry between the Americans, Chad Hedrick and Shawnee Davis. They were supposed to fight it out in the 1500s, but then an Italian fella snuck past them both and won. But these two, they don't like each other. This Hedrick and Shawnee Davis, who I referred to earlier, is the first black man to ever win Olympic gold in the Winter Games.
No, not
and
at all.
And he is an absolute delight. Here he is talking just after he won that gold medal. Listen to him.
You are the first African-American male to win a gold medal at the Winter Games. How proud are you of that?
I'm pretty happy about it.
Just, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Your mom, Cherry, you credit her with much of your success. Is this medal as much for her as it is for you?
Yeah, she earned it too.
Are you angry, Shawnee?
No, I'm happy. I have a loss for words right now.
All right, you sure do look happy.
Whoa!
He's fun.
Yeah. Well, no. I was wrong what I said earlier about angry athletes being interviewed. Wow. And how I missed that from the Olympics.
Speaking of fun, spring training underway. The Giants had their first team workout scheduled yesterday. Full team workout. Everybody was there except for one.
Who's the name of the guy from the Dominican who does the bullpen catching?
No. You're going down the wrong path here. His name is Barry Bonds.
Oh, yeah. He's such a team player.
He couldn't show up. He was nowhere to be found, but fortunately his agent said that it was personal reasons. Mm. Undisclosed personal reasons. I had to find out more. I flew up there for the press conference yesterday, and it got a little heated between me and the agent.
I want to state for the record, Barry Bonds did not miss the Giants team workout because he was scoring steroids.
Well, nobody suggested he was.
I know. That's why I said it.
But then it's a weird thing to bring up.
So then why are you talking about it?
Well, I wouldn't be if you hadn't mentioned it.
Who did?
You.
No, you.
All right, now you're just being childish.
Now you're just being childish.
Cut it out.
You cut it out.
How about this? Just tell us where he was.
He was scoring steroids.
Wow.
Hard hitting.
Horrible mouthpiece.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Nice work. All right, Louis C.K. is due in. We have Kanicki is going to come in. Jeff Conaway. Figure out. Celebrity Chub Club, that's the name of the show we decided he's from.
Yeah.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Hopefully he's sober and doing well. Or hopefully he's not sober, because he's funny either way. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now.
Yeah. Louis C.K. in studio. Tuesday nights. I should say night, singular. February 28th at the Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, Comedy Magic Club. How much magic goes on at that club?
I don't know. I've never been there.
Never?
I have no idea.
Really? Have you never?
I've never been to the Hermosa Beach Club.
Oh, you haven't?
Well, they have very clean shows there. They have all clean comedians. It's Jay Leno. That's like his club. He goes mm-hmm. there every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so they've never wanted me on the show because I'm too dirty.
Right.
But finally they said, okay. But they're telling everybody. They're
careful.
Warning. There's a lot of warnings on the big sticker on the door and stuff. And
wow. I would be enticed like a child at a museum who sees the do not touch sign over the statue.
So would I.
I would poke you.
Yeah. But some people, they get their feelings hurt when they hear those words. Makes them feel bad. They cry.
You know that whole part where people go to see comedians mm-hmm. and then start going, "Hey, buddy, that's not funny. You're talking about, I'm a NASCAR fan. What are you talking about?" You know, like, what the F are you doing at the club?
Yeah. Yeah, no, people want other stuff made fun of, but not their own thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the plan. Maybe instead of just having comedy clubs, we'll have white comedy clubs. You know, we'll have NASCAR. We'll have Republican and Democrat. You just go in and hear the stuff you want to hear.
Just go in and make fun of other people.
Yeah, whoever's not in the room.
The thing
essentially,
is, though, actually, people like their own thing made fun of too, because they feel like they're part of it. Then, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's actually the majority. Like, if you make jokes about black people in clubs, and there's no black people. I mean, there either has to be a lot of black people or no black people.
Right.
If there's no black people, white people will laugh at them all the time.
Right.
Because it's funny that they're black and their life is not as good as ours. It's funny.
And I'm looking at you. I don't know your heritage, but you're half black or you're full?
I'm very, very white guy.
You're very white.
Very white.
Freckled, pasty.
And then if there's like one white couple in the audience, one black couple in the audience, then nobody wants to laugh at black jokes because they're all just staring at them and they're scared.
Get the reaction.
Yeah, because they're so afraid this one black guy and woman are going to beat them all up.
I wish, I want to get to that point where I sort of represent my culture. Like, you know, like mm-hmm. when you see the Oscars or one of these award shows and Morgan Freeman wins a Lifetime Achievement Award, they have to give a close-up on Jamie Foxx.
Right.
Or Halle Berry.
How's he going to take it?
Yeah, like him and, they go way back, him and Morgan Freeman, you know.
So you want it to be like Tom Cruise wins an Oscar and then there's Adam Carolla's feeling about it.
No, he wins.
Fellow white
man. Which culture are you going to represent?
Well, when Kimmel wins the Essence Award.
Yeah.
I want to be in the audience, sitting between Snoop Dogg and Don Magic Juan, and I want them to cut to me. Let's see if we can read from Carolla's face how he's taken one of his fellow whitey.
In your eye. And
Yeah, and they always have the same look, which is, what the F do you want from me?
Yeah.
He's black, yes, I don't know him.
Yeah.
He's 50 years older than I am. Yeah. He was actually a slave.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. No. Well, he's old, that's what I'm
and
saying.
And he's not bitter, it's amazing.
No, he doesn't want Black
so
History
sweet
Month.
For an ex-slave.
Well, I don't look. I'm no historian. I don't know when slavery ended, yeah, but it seems like he's old enough to make
ago.
The cut.
Most white people act like it was forever ago. They're like, come on, that was 600 years. It gets, like, every year. Adds another 100 to how long ago slavery was. That was 400,000 years ago. There's nobody alive. Everybody pretends it was this whole other race. There wasn't even, it wasn't humans. It wasn't even, you know.
Yeah, there were black droids that we brought in from another planet.
No connection. Meanwhile, well, if you see a black guy with, like, gray on his temples, that guy lived in an America where he wasn't allowed to go to certain fountains.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you gotta give him a little bitterness.
Yeah. No, I'll give it to him. Ironically, that guy doesn't seem to be as bitter as the Kanye West of the world who didn't experience that lifestyle.
Exactly.
It's cool, the black guy with the gray in his temples, who actually was forced to drink from the different drinking fountain to the back of the bus, seems to be okay with the whole
thing.
He's
actually a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a pretty sweet guy. And the Kanye West with all the money is...
He's angry about
somehow
it.
Somehow people hate
I think
him.
He feels like he needs to be angry for the guy with the gray on the temples who isn't angry.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I feel the same way about complaining. You're not complaining enough. Don't worry. I'll complain for you.
Yeah.
I will pick up the complaining torch and carry it.
But anyway, if you have a club full of black people, they love when you make fun of black people.
Oh, yes.
They love it.
No,
and
I know.
And the white people nervously laugh because they're in a room full of black people.
Right.
But everybody laughs.
And again, you're not black.
I'm not a black at all.
I was noticing when Louis came in, Louis's a well-built guy. You must be... 205 pounds.
Oh God, 240.
Well, let's weigh him.
240.
Man, yeah.
Really? I mean, you don't look heavy. I mean, you're built like a linebacker. The problem is you're
body,
freckled.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So everyone thinks they can kick your ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? If Gary Coleman was going up against you in celebrity boxing, all the money would be on Coleman, even though you're 240 pounds, because
like
your arms are freckled.
Right. Just a very big howdy doody. Doesn't matter how much I could take steroids forever and have cuts on my face, you'd still go, "Oh, he's a nice guy."
Just the idea of some guy with pink nipples kicking your ass. Nobody buys it. Hop on the scale, Louis. Let's see what we got. We balance
really
that thing out. Yeah.
I think I'm like 240, 235.
We balance it out for Big Tap, but you're not a fat.
No,
you're
strapping.
Not fat, and your arms, you got big guns on you.
Well, that's because I hit the heavy bag.
You hit the heavy bag this morning. You got big guns and...
232?
Yeah. You don't have a fat face? I mean, a lot of guys, if they got up, if me and Damashek got up over 210 pounds, our heads would be like, Buddhas.
Yeah.
Here, look at you.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what's nice and smart?
What's that?
I don't know if you have a fat face or not because you have the goatee.
The goatee hides a lot
pulls
of
it in.
Bad stuff.
Yeah. You know what it's like? It's like drawing a face, just drawing a circle for a face, drawing a mouth and a nose and eyes, and then you start coloring in the cheekbones and coloring in the jaw and the cleft and stuff. The beard will color that in.
Oh, sure.
Smart.
Yeah, I kind of take care of myself. I ride my bikes to work most days. And,
oh, you do?
I hit the speed bag, and that's all.
You do?
I eat a lot, though. I eat a lot of donuts and bacon and stuff. So
that balances
it out.
Well, like I said, you look good. You look sharp.
Thank you.
We're going to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo. After this break, do you mind?
I don't think we played it with you last time.
Yeah,
we played that Jeff Probst guy play it.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah,
he has the celebrity crown or the belt buckle as it comes to Ask Kiss Rodeo. Now, here's the thing: there's a sort of staff one and just the commoner crown or belt, and then there's the celebrity one. I wonder if we should have a comedian one. Or just go ahead and put you in the celebrity category.
Well, somebody's going to have to unite the belts at some point.
That's true.
Ooh. I'll have to go up against
Well, as strapping as CK is, though, you know, I don't know if the belt will even fit him now.
Yeah.
We'll
just put it over my shoulder, like at the end of the fights, you know.
Oh, man. Could there be anything better than not having enough room on your waist for the multiple belts you've won in boxing or wrestling or something, so you have to hang them over your shoulders,
like the
big tire lumberjack made out of plastic up on the sign.
I don't think those belts hold pants up very well anyway.
No, they don't fit through the loops.
No, they don't fit through the loops at all.
We'll take a quick... But again... It's like the Stanley Cup. I don't think it's meant to be used as a tumbler.
No.
I think it's more for show. I think it's more for show, but we'll look it up. We'll take a quick break. Louis C.K. here. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carell Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Louis C.K. The morbidly obese Louis C.K. It is amazing how there's body types and then there's body types because Louis just got off the scale, came in about 235 or so, and there are guys who, if they got up to 235, even though they're the same height as you, would be huge, and then, you know, sloppy and really, you know, considering surgery. And then there's other guys who are like in the NFL and stuff. 245 is pixie weight for them.
Yeah.
It's all about, it's about your build. And they don't really talk about that. They're all about the weight. What about the build? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, it all, yeah, I put it all in mostly just right in my gut. I look pregnant sometimes because I put it all there.
Yeah, you're like Burt Reynolds from that movie.
I just like to eat. I'm one of those, I'm lucky because I'm one of those people, I can eat whatever I want all the time and I just get fat. So, just have that magical ability.
I just got on the scale. I was like 201, but I announced I'm not nude. I weigh myself nude. And then I thought about it. How much nude work do I actually get done?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You should weigh yourself in your street clothes. I'm not going out nude. I'm going to work nude. Going to go get the mail. Yeah. Going to get into it with some dude on the road nude.
I weigh 160 without my arm. Without my left arm. But that doesn't make
sense. Yeah. If I drain my body of fluid, I'll come in about 60 pounds.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What about if you turn to dust 100 years from now? Yeah. What are you coming in then?
Yeah.
Louis is going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco tonight and tomorrow, and then over at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Watch out. He's naughty, everybody. My buddy Ray is on the phone. My buddy Ray's on the phone because Dave Damashek brought up a story I forgot about. We have some hipster comedy friends that rent out a roller rink every so often down in Venice, or at least in that area. And everyone gets high and puts on the skates to pull to one side. And we get it after midnight. And everyone does their roller disco thing for a couple hours into the wee hours of the morning. I think after a long night of doing Amel Poppers and skating, Louis C.K. was drying the sweat from his shirt by his locker. And my buddy Ray, the crazed man I met in the fifth grade, who was in the TLC Project show with me, came up behind Louie and just dove on him and groped him and squeezed him and all 235 pounds of him. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It's unclear. Dave, do you know the rest of this story?
Because it was Ray. He's insane. But the thing, but was great was Louie's reaction was, you know, he had his back to Ray, and Ray grabbed his bosoms and started shaking them, going like, blah, 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 blah. And Louie sort of turned around like, which one of my devilish comedian friends is this? And as he turned around and realized it was a complete stranger who was built like a NFL linebacker, he's like, don't put your effing hands on me ever again.
He
looked like he was about to sock him.
Why was your shirt off, though, Louie?
I'm trying to remember. It was a bad, I don't know how to skate. And so I was just hanging on to the rail and just my legs spinning like a cartoon.
Were you making that sound?
And I went around the whole night. I went around the rink once that way.
Right.
And it was awful. That noise. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And my groins muscles were all ripped and I was just, it was awful.
It was very hot in there.
And it's just this gay skating thing and I hated it anyway. Yeah. I was just sweating from hatred for people that are ironically wearing gym shorts and skating and, you know.
Right. Sweatbands.
Yeah, so I took off my t-shirt and I don't remember why exactly. I must have been pretty sweaty. And then suddenly there's these hands grabbing my pits and I'm just, and shaking really hard. And when I turn around and realize it was a total stranger and he's got this awful look on his face like, ah. And he's, and he wasn't letting go. Once
Ray.
We made eye contact.
He's more beast than man. Yeah.
Because I think he thought I was somebody else too.
Ray.
Yeah,
Ray, did you think Louis C.K. was someone else?
Actually, if you look at him from behind, he looks exactly like Jeff Ross.
No,
absolutely.
So.
So why would you do that to Jeff Ross?
Because it's funny if you do it to Jeff
Ross.
Yeah. It's not funny if you do it to Louis C.K., who you don't know.
Actually, Louis,
I saw in your eyes when I, because I remember this, because it's one of the most violated feelings I've ever had in my life. It's burned in my head.
Hold on, did Jeff take one of those rape showers when you got home?
I did. I was sitting on the with my knees gathered at my chest, crying. Elizabeth Shue and me.
But I saw him by a year later on the lot, and I walked up to him, and I don't think he recognized me, and I apologized to him.
Yeah, no, I remember. I think I was probably cagey and unsympathetic.
But what? Now, what were you going to say, Louis?
Well, just that I remember turning and seeing in his eyes that, oh, wait a minute, you're not who I thought I was, but I'm going to keep doing this anyway. Like, you just gonna, once you've almost hit you in the face. I've never actually been in a real fight. That's the closest I've come to really punching somebody right in the face.
Once you've committed to assaulting a stranger.
Sure, I would have. You probably would have kicked my ass. That would have been the worst thing. I would have been Ninja Guy and then get the crap beaten out of me.
Right. And I would have done that thing where I start to intervene, or Sheck starts to intervene, and I put my hand out, let him go, man. This has been building for a long, long time. We've been building up to this for about 4 seconds. Yeah. Let it go.
Well, he ain't worth it, man.
I'm not a boxer, but, you know, or anything. I'm not the particularly strong guy, but I once hit Ray as hard as I could in the face because he angered me. I punched him squarely in the jaw as hard as I could. And I don't think he noticed that I had touched him. Yeah, it's not a good idea to hit him. He's a gorilla.
He thought he had a piece of parsley on his leg. I did that thing.
He has nothing to live for. He's one of those guys. He has nothing to live for. I got kids.
Right. That's right. Yeah. All right, Ray, thank you for assaulting Louis C.K. How you thought he looked like Jeff Ross, and I'm not sure which one of you should be insulted. I think both of you should.
Well, listen, turn him around, tell him lift off his shirt, and then you'll see.
All right, take your shirt off, turn around, and grab your ankles. I just added that one. Louis C.K., everyone. Wow. Ask Kiss Rodeo, we still have to play. Oh, we're up against the clock.
The bad news is that now that we've talked about him and had a laugh with it, now he thinks he's entitled to do it again the next time he sees you.
Yeah, I know.
Here's how you know it's not Jeff Ross. You're not hearing a joke from 10 years ago. Yeah, that's how I can always tell. If I'm not hearing tell your face, I know it's not Jeff Ross. All right, let's do a little Ask Kiss Rodeo quickly. Louis C.K.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, buddy. All right, I bring up the topic. You kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Cheney. I love Dick Cheney.
Well, you should. You're a smart guy. Dick Cheney's doing a great job. It just shows your judgment. It's very sound.
I think that old lawyer had it coming.
You know what? Your shrewdness of knowing that he had it coming, I would like to shoot anyone in the face that disagrees with you.
I think my buddy Ray was right to assault you. I only wish it had gone further.
Look, that's what I was trying to say, is that I felt like I had it coming, especially, you know, and now you really made me see that, and you're a very wise man.
I'm a Mac.
Handsome.
I'm a Mac man. I like to use the Mac computer.
Oh, me too. I love Mac. It's clearly better than PC.
I'm a PC. I'm a PC
guy. The great thing about you is you're able to vacillate and still stay the same guy with the same qualities.
Yeah, I like the PC computer. That's the way to go.
Of course you do.
I like Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd is awesome.
I hate Pink Floyd.
And
See, you always just get people on the opposite-y thing.
Yeah.
On the yes-no thing. Well,
that's
look.
Cheap.
Well, it's like when, you know, it's like Simon Says. You bust people without saying Simon Says. That's how it works.
Yeah, but it's like a... Like, if it's a rodeo, so if you're on a bull, and the bull is tossing, and you're sort of managing to stay with the bull, but all of a sudden the bull just says, I'm not a bull anymore, and he disappears. Are you supposed to... It's just a cheap
bull. No. Trip. Anyone can ride a smooth pony, a pony that takes you on a nice journey.
Yeah.
This bull is up and down. You don't know where he's going, and you were tossed off.
That's true.
All right. Well, nice
Adam,
try.
No matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
Louis C.K. can be found at Cobb's Comedy Club. That is tonight and tomorrow, and then the comedy in Hermosa, and comedy, and what the hell, magic. When is the magic? When is that coming up? I got two separate cards here. Let's see.
That's Monday. I think Tuesday.
Tuesday. All right. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
Always a delight. Sorry about my friend Ray.
Hey, you know.
Let me apologize in advance for whatever he does to you next.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break. Jeff Conaway is coming in. Also, we have Roy from Siegfried and Roy calling in from Vegas. All that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Jeff Conaway from the Celebrity Fit Club is coming in a couple of few. He melted down a few times. He had a little substance problem, but I think he's back on his feet. Just said hi to him, so we'll bring him in. Roy Horn is calling in from Las Vegas, from Siegfried and Roy. We'll talk to him. Apparently, he's on the mend. We talked about him with Pat O'Brien earlier today. Quick piece of business to take care of, an apology to the Asian community. We did a bit a few weeks back that offended many people. It was unintended to offend these people. We do a show here that is a little irreverent, and sometimes we cross the line, and we definitely crossed it this time. And it was not meant to offend. It did, and for that, we sincerely apologize to the good people of the Asian community. So we apologize, and we thank you for your support. All right, where are we? Roy Horn is calling in.
Really?
Yes, the great Roy Horn.
Rising like the phoenix, he's back.
Roy?
Yeah, hello?
Hello, Roy.
Who is this?
This is Adam.
No, you didn't, girlfriend. How are you?
Wow, you're back.
Yeah, I'm a little out of it. Sleepy.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, I guess Montecor caused that stroke.
No, I was attacked by a white tiger and had a stroke.
Yeah, no, but I think it was trying to save you. I really do.
How are you, Snooker Fritz?
I'm doing good. Thank you. We talked to Pat O'Brien earlier in the show. We talked to him this morning. He said you're not a fan of Pat O'Brien?
No, that's my breathing tube.
Oh, okay.
I
saw footage. It's been a couple of years, but... Are you okay, Mr. Horn?
Yeah, I feel like $1 million. I'm on demand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people thought you wouldn't walk again. A lot of people said you wouldn't speak again. And now you and Siegfried are talking about getting the act back together. Do you think you'll ever be on stage again?
Yeah, I'm really making strides and back on my feet and feel like $1 million.
Right? Maybe that's the medication. I don't know what's funny about this, Dave Damashek. We're going to be in Vegas on March 9th.
Come see me, girlfriend.
We can come to the compound. You'll be there?
Yeah, we'll give you an insider's look.
Mm-hmm. All right, and...
If you know what I mean, vink, vink.
How's Montecor doing? Do you still have the white tiger that bit you?
Yeah, I talk to him every night. Yeah, when I have my way with him, he's a rug now. He's lying in my living room.
You actually skinned him, huh?
Yeah, I ate his penis with some fava beans on the good Chianti. Actually, it was Gewurztraminer.
I don't know how. You know when they say, oh, people have suffered a stroke, and then they go, I had to learn to walk again. I had to learn to speak again. If I was over 30 and I had to learn to speak again, I'd be like, F it. Give me that dry erase board.
No, you didn't, girlfriend.
So courageous, Roy. You really are. I mean, all the doubters in the world said you wouldn't be back on your feet. I saw you walking. I mean, it was labored, but you were walking.
Yeah, well, I have 9 lives. Maybe some cats don't, because Montecor went down after only 1 bullet to his temple. He wasn't so frisky then.
Is that your breathing tube? Are you using a tube?
Yeah.
Now, are you able to eat solid food, or are you fed through the tube as well?
Listen, you'll find out when you get here, there'll be a lot of things fed down tubes, if you know what I mean.
Hamsters and whatnot?
Yeah, one thing about Montecor I want to clear up. Mm. He's not even white. Siegfried bleached him.
Oh, really?
All the secrets are coming out.
Yeah. Over to our house and have your way with that cat.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it because I've always wanted to go to the compound and swim in the pool with the big lions and run around with all the wildlife.
Yeah, we'll do the whole thing.
Okay.
The buffet at the Tropicana and the presidential suite at the Mirage and maybe Steve Wynn's art. Have you ever been here?
I have been to Vegas before, yeah. But I've never been to the compound where Siegfried and you reside.
This is a first time for everything.
Okay. All right, Roy? Roy?
Yeah, okay, Snooker Fritz.
Yeah, we're gonna do some news, I think. Jeff Conaway's also waiting to come in. But I want to thank you for calling in, and call back, please. Keep us updated on your health.
Yeah, you behave yourself, you so-and-so.
Okay, buddy. Cool guy. And hip to the American lingo.
I'd say he's an inspiration.
I think this is a good enough time to bring up by the fact that we want to play a little Germany or Florida. We figured out that all bizarre tales, all the crazy news stories, not the freeway shootings, not the car bombings, but the bizarre stuff, the guys who cut off their appendages and fry them up and consume them, come from one of two places, either Germany or Florida. You call in, and we'll play along. Get a good story. Fine. It's got to be weird, and it's got to come from either Germany or Florida, and then we'll guess, is it Germany or Florida? Jeff Conaway, or Conaway, I should say, is going to be coming in. So, okay, we'll break early. We'll bring Jeff in. Can we hear just a little shot of Jeff from the Celebrity Fit Club?
I think that we've been here for you, too.
I didn't feel that you were there for me yesterday. But
we
was there.
We could have not had you in the boat.
But I was there.
They didn't want you in the boat, and we put you in the boat.
Look, you wanted to throw me out of the boat.
No, she didn't.
Somebody else wanted to throw you out of the boat.
Well, then they should have. Didn't you?
I don't think that's fair.
You know, I'm sick and tired of this. Go take your show and shove it up your ass.
He started off apologizing. That's how that segment started. He wanted to apologize, hat in hand, and then escalated into that. Oh, this is going to be great. So Jeff Conaway's coming in. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Jeff Conaway in the studio.
Hey, Nicky from Connecticut's like a Hallmark card when you care enough to send the very best.
I'll take Grease is one of these movies that if it's ever on and I'm flipping around, especially if I'm sitting next to my wife, we just stop and watch it till whenever it ends.
Yeah, it's a great movie. You know, I get people coming up and saying they were conceived or we conceived our child while we were watching Grease. So that's always kind of uplifting, you know, knowing that I put people in the mood.
Yeah. How old were you when you shot that?
26.
And had you done the stage version of it before
that? Yeah, I played Danny Zuko. I played the part that John played in the movie. I played that at the Eden Theater and the Broadhurst Theater and the Royale Theater. I toured with it for a little bit, and then I came back to the Royale. I ended up doing it for 2.5 years.
Were you a little PO'd that Travolta got the lead after you playing the lead in the Broadway version of it when they made it into a movie?
No, John and I were really good friends, as well as Barry Bostwick, and I knew whose ever career like took off first would end up doing the part, and John exploded like a megastar,
right?
And so I just wrote it off. I never thought I'd be part of the movie at all.
Was he doing well back then? He was doing Welcome Back, Cotter.
Welcome Back, Cotter, 75.
And he did like Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
Yeah, he did that while he was doing, and he did the Carrie. He did Carrie.
Oh, Carrie the movie, yeah.
And he did some terrible horror movie before he did that. He was always laughing
but
about
was
it.
Grease his first sort of biggie? I mean,
Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, that came before Grease.
Yeah, that was huge.
Well, that'll heat him up a little bit.
Big movie.
Yeah, those are two. And I was like 77 and 78 or something like that.
Years. Saturday Night came out in 77.
Mm. And you were a Kinnicky.
I was Kinnicky.
Are you a good singer?
Yes, I'm a very good singer.
Oh, you are?
I've been singing all my life. I did a bunch of musicals, and I was in a rock and roll band in the 60s called Three and a Half. We recorded for Cameo Parkway. Neil Bogart was our A&R man, and then I recorded for Decca Records and then Columbia Records, and then I kind of, like, every time I got involved with music, it broke my heart. So I kind of backed off, and then I started writing some Christian music.
Are you Christian now?
Yeah, I'm Christian. I apologize for my usage of words, but when I get angry, sure, I revert to a New Yorker.
Well, you're a passionate man. Yeah, yes. You may be a Christian, but you're a New Yorker first. Let's hear just a little snippet of that, if we could.
Walk down memory lane. Too.
This is you from the Celebrity Fit Club 3, by the way.
But I was there.
We could have not had you in the boat.
But I was there.
They put you in the boat, and we put you in the boat.
Look, you wanted to throw me out of the boat.
No, she didn't.
No, 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 no. Actually, somebody else wanted to throw you out of the boat.
Well, then they should have.
That's the New York part, not the Christian part right there.
I don't think that's fair.
The boat talk was the Christian part.
Go take your show and shove it up your yes.
Delighted with himself.
And now, then you went into rehab where you saw my buddy Dr. Drew.
Yeah, he's great.
And now clean and sober.
Right.
And welcome
40 days
back to the show.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Now, what was going on? What were you taking?
I was taking like one or two Norcos a day, which is a pain pill, which
right,
I didn't have problems with.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was with the Xanax, the benzodiazepines.
What is Xanax for?
It's for sleeping or if you get a panic attack or something, it calms you down.
It's good for flying. If you're a nervous flyer, you take a Xanax, sort of mellows you out. It's not that you're not nervous anymore. It's just you don't care if the plane crashes.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of hope it does.
Well, you won't remember it because what they're actually designed for is to create amnesia. So when you go through an operation or you're going through pain, you don't remember how bad it was. So the next time you're in an operation, you'll get it.
And Dave took a few before his wedding, he told me.
Yeah, I should take a few of those every day.
Jeez. Yeah, it's really your head just gets shaken like an Etch-a-Sketch. The end of the day, it's like, what the hell happened? Who'd I tell to F off in a boat? What happened?
Well, you know, I got to straighten a few things out
please,
here.
Please, please.
You know, the point is that what I took that day, I never took any of the painkillers or Xanax. I only took Xanax at night to go to sleep.
Right.
And the painkillers, I usually waited till the evening because I didn't want to be goofy during the day.
Right.
And I don't take them when I work. That day, I took a muscle relaxer, which I'd taken for 10 years, which is Xanaflex, and two Benadryl. And the next thing you know, I was wasted. And I have no idea why it happened,
right,
how it happened, but nobody said to me, are you all right? Why don't you sit down and have a glass of water?
Probably the bourbon.
Yeah.
Well, no, I wasn't.
No booze?
No booze.
Oh, really?
No booze.
Here's the thing, though. I have to tell everyone out there, and it's one of the keys to life. When you get wasted, you need to know you're wasted. That's the whole thing. People get wasted and they go, I can drive or F the law or nobody can catch me or I got some choice words for you, honey, or whatever. As long as you know you're wasted, then it's okay to be wasted. It's like a bad dream.
Well, as long as you are responsibly wasted.
Yeah, well, even if you're out of your gourd, and which I've been on many occasions, I remember thinking to myself, I definitely know I'm wasted, so I shouldn't stand up and make any proclamations. I should probably not try to avoid, the law if I see the rollers behind me in a high-speed pursuit. I probably shouldn't be driving. There's a whole bunch of things I know I shouldn't be doing when I'm wasted. Some people get wasted and think everything's a good idea. Is that more your mindset, Jeff?
No. I mean, I would never drink and drive. I've already had a DUI. I will never do that again as long as I live.
It ruins your life.
It's horrible. They treat you like a child rapist.
Yes.
I mean, they treat you
Let's have clarity. Someone who rapes children, not a young rapist.
Yes.
I just want clarity there, because I think Dave looked confused there.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up for
me.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. It's not worth it. It's really dangerous.
Right.
And just don't drink and drive. You know, don't do anything and drive.
But now you're...
Don't do anything and drive?
Well, got to do something.
Well, you know what I mean.
Right. Don't get high. Don't do the booze thing.
Right.
Don't do the pills.
Right. Stay away.
And you're sober now. Yes. 40 days sober.
40 days.
Now, I know Dr. Drew, and if you're taking painkillers or anything, you're not sober. In his mind.
Yeah, well, there are two schools of thought about
uh-oh.
That, because I was, it's like, you know, my sponsor says, if you have to take pills and you take them the way the doctor prescribes them, you're sober.
Right.
And you know, that's what I was doing, except for the Xanax, so I really wasn't sober at the time because I was tripling up on the Xanax.
Right. Well, what do you, and right now there's nothing in your system.
No.
Okay.
No, I take trazodone for sleep now, which is three antidepressants in one, and Dr. Drew gave that to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I've been trying to get those and pharmaceutical quaaludes from him for years. He won't cough them up.
Trazodone. No,
trazodone is bad. It gives me really bad nightmares and stuff. So they gave me some stuff called Seroquel, which is an antipsychotic, which put you to sleep.
What's going on? I mean, let's go macro and stop working micro here for a second. Let's look big picture.
Okay.
I would argue that micro and macro need to be further apart. They sound very close to the same word. One means everything, the other means the head of a pin, the tip of a pin, and the other's the universe, and yet they're just half a syllable apart. But the point is what's going on in your life? Are you in pain? Do you have chronic pain?
Oh yeah.
Do you have depression?
You know, the depression's not been so bad since I've been taking the antidepressants. You know, I've really had a great 40 days. I had one really bad day, and God has really blessed me with what they call a pink cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if it's a pink cloud, I hope it lasts for the rest of my life. I just had a knee operation, a double meniscus knee operation, so that's in pain. And I have back trouble. I've got several degenerative discs.
Were you ever in an accident or something like
that? Well, when I was doing Grease on Broadway, one of the fellas had a drinking problem, and he used to drink before the shows, and this was after a matinee for the night show, and he really got loaded on those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't make it to where he was supposed to be, and at one point, Danny jumps up backwards, and the guys are supposed to catch him. Well, he wasn't there, so I didn't get caught. And my back slammed up on the deck. And then they dropped me again. They thought it was so funny. They were laughing their jocks off. And they dropped me again. And I was in unbelievable pain. I don't know how I finished the show. And the doctor said, look, you're young now, but you're going to have a problem in about 20 years. And 23 years later, I was running around Lake Hollywood and fell to my knees. The pain was so bad. And it's not as bad as that anymore. It gets really uncomfortable, and
but
sometimes
do you have, all right, so you have some physical problems.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear that other clip, by the way, of Jeff talking about not being into drugs.
I'm sorry.
This is the apology.
People are obviously trying to talk to me, and I'm not hearing it right. You know, I'm sorry, Kelly. Everybody, thank you for your concern. There was nothing to be concerned about. I took a couple of Benadryl, and I got loopy. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't do those things anymore. I mean, you know, I feel, I wake up every day, and I say, what is it? What am I doing here?
Do you, Jeff, I have this, and you were kind of effed up there, right, at that point?
No, I was just angry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You weren't high there?
No.
There's an interesting thing, and it's sort of philosophical, and we'll just try, see if we can work it out. But it seems like some people are almost uncomfortable in their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of life is, it's not about being difficult or too hard, it's just almost too much in a weird way. They seem like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders, almost burdened. And then there's other people that I can't stand that just seem to walk around smiling and whistling. And somebody tells them whatever was going to be dropped off on a Friday is going to show up on Monday. And they say, no problemo. And they go back to whistling. Do you feel like you're one of those guys that's sort of tormented? And if so, why? Is it a chemical thing? I mean, you've had a blessed life.
Yes and no. Through most of my life, except for these past 40 days, I've been incredibly depressed. I'm clinically depressed. I don't make serotonin. I mean, I was depressed as a child.
So you have a chemical imbalance.
Yeah, I have a chemical imbalance. And that's just the way it is. You know, I mean, I contemplated suicide at 3 years old.
Really?
I had the razor blade in my hand, and I thought, you know, I can't do this to my mother.
Were your parents divorced? Was there abuse or anything like that?
No, no. They used to argue a lot, but then my father left, and I don't think I took that very well, you know. And
So even though you've had a life where you're starring in sitcoms and making money and having sex with beautiful women...
It didn't fill the hole.
Nothing.
No, I thought it would. I thought, you know, when I finally just, you know, I finally get there, it'll all be better. And it was better for about 2 weeks. Yeah. Then the novelty wore off.
Right.
And all of a sudden it was like crap again. And part of that reason was Taxi, they reneged on a lot of promises they made me. They told me they let me out to do movies. They told me I could go into writer sessions. They told me I could direct down the line. And then they reneged on all those things. So, I mean, I didn't need to do a sitcom at the time. I had a movie career going.
But still, the part where, I guess, and this is just how life goes, and all every time anyone listening is going to their crappy job over at the Keebler factory and thinking how happy everyone is just as miserable as everyone else.
Yes.
Or you're happy, doesn't really matter what you do or who you're married to. You're doing a sitcom, you're great looking, you're young, you're making tons of money. I'm going back to 19. You're still good looking, but I'm going.
It's true.
I'm going
whatever you've been doing has kept you.
You held
youthful.
Up nicely.
I do
think
a lot
that's
of vitamins
called good.
And herbs.
No, it's good genes, is what it is. You go back.
I think it's vitamins and the herbs.
How old are you?
55.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
But here's the thing. You got a good physical hand dealt to you. That's why.
Yes, I did.
Anyway, we go back. You're making good money. You're on a sitcom. Everything's going right. Please, having sex with plenty of beautiful women, right? Yeah. Wasn't a Christian back then. He's Christian. His penis worships the devil.
How many women?
Oh, that devil penis. How many women?
100 women? 200 women? 500?
No, not that many. I mean, I was somewhat choosy. You know,
Dave's not choosy.
I don't know, 100, 150, something like that.
In what, like a 2-year span or so?
No, over the course of his lifetime.
Yeah,
we're talking full life.
But here's the thing.
I stopped counting a long time ago.
There are only
so
many supermodels. You know, he's not Wilt Chamberlain. He doesn't bang every groupie who hangs out in the lobby of the hotel. He goes out for the models.
I just admire the lifestyle. I think that's a fantastic life.
All right, the point is...
Yeah, but that's empty, too, in the long run.
The women, the money.
You're looking for something that you can't find.
That's right. See? All right, so now, and how are you doing in the money department? Did you sock away money? Are you doing okay?
Well, you know, I've been blessed, you know. I mean, I was robbed of $500,000, but I've always worked, you know. And whenever the money started getting low, God came in with another job for me. And sometimes I wondered, is this really what you want me to do? But it was there, so I did it.
That's what I said to God when he commanded me to do gay porn in the mid-80s. I was like, I don't want to question you, Almighty, but really? Can I at least be a top?
You really want me to put this in my mouth?
Well, listen, who am I to question the Almighty? All right, we need to take a break. Jeff, take a break. Jeff Conaway is here. Yeah, I know. We got a note that said, who stole your money? I'm guessing was the $500,000 management, that kind of stuff.
Managers.
That's right.
I had a mugger in mind. I thought it was, give me had a $500,000 in his wallet or something.
I had a mugger once steal $8 from me.
Then
I put him in jail.
We'll take a quick break and more with Jeff after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
I like that gay porn story.
Well, like I said, we had to make ends meet back in the 80s. And that was the name of the porn, by the way.
Yeah,
ends meet. Yeah. Richard Ends is a tough private eye. Somebody please come out with a gay porn called Ends Meet.
They will now.
Yeah, I mean, it was meat, was M-E-A-T. I mean, that was, okay, anyway, enough. I should probably stop talking about it. Jeff Conaway is here from Celebrity Fit Club 3. He is a 40 days sober. Gunnar Nelson. Was one of the Nelsons on that show, too?
Yeah, he replaced me. Really nice guy. I got a chance to actually talk to him in the bathroom.
All 178 pounds of him. Nice. I mean, the guy was not overweight.
I know, but they had to get somebody. I mean, but he lost 30 pounds.
30 pounds?
30 pounds.
He wasn't 185 when he walked onto the set. How did he lose? I know he's probably 5'9 or 10 or something.
He's not
a tall guy, but how the hell do you lose 30 pounds when you're well under 200 to begin with?
Well, he took the Marine course, and the drill sergeant put him through heavy exercise discipline.
Not for you.
And he was on the diet and everything, and he looked great. I saw him at the Grammy, pre-Grammys, and really nice guy. I really enjoyed talking to him. He agreed with me on several things concerning the nature of some of the people on the show.
Not a fan of Kelly LeBrock. From Weird Science.
Tempest Bledsoe.
Not a fan.
No.
There's a lot of caddy. So how about Chastity Bono? No? Not a fan.
Well, the only talent she has was she inherited from her father, his predilection for women.
Ah. Interesting. So, and I'll give you a little tip, not that you need it, but if you really hate somebody and you don't want to say something bad, you just go, well, you know, Chastity's Chastity. You just repeat
her
name twice.
I don't hate her.
But what is she doing there? Is she a celebrity?
No.
And by the way, I don't want to be cruel, but Cher, she's had a little work done over the years, but I think arguably an attractive woman. Tall,
yes.
Leggy, used to see her
and
in a show
in
the
nice.
Bill Blass outfits. Beautiful looking woman. Sonny, not a bad looking guy. What the hell happened there? How did that, you know what it's like? It's like a Maserati.
I think a snake got loose.
It was like a Bentley and a Maserati crash into each other and a Hyundai comes out. A heavy set Hyundai. How does that happen?
I don't know. To tell you the truth, I mean, and, you know, I was friends with her father, who was really a terrific, wonderful, kind man. And I had dinner once with Cher with a friend, and she was a lovely person. All I can say is that Chastity said things she shouldn't have said. She had no proof. She had she spoke out of turn, and for somebody who's says they're sober, I don't think she's sober. I think she's dry. I don't get the... I mean, she's taking other people's inventory and putting her nose where it doesn't belong and doing it on TV.
Well, you're in the 12-step program
now. Yes, I'm in a few of them.
Now, the part I don't like, and it's happened to me, I've been on the losing end, I think, of the eighth or ninth step many times. One time from Margaret Cho, who got sober. I get that phone call when someone is on their ninth step.
Right.
Hello? Yeah, man. It's John. What's happening, buddy? We got to talk. What's the problem? Listen, I've done some things I'm not proud of. Hey, it's cool. I did some things. No, it's not cool, man. Now I'm horribly uncomfortable because it's noon, and I'm talking to the guy who used to be the life of the party. And one time he got loaded and whizzed on my leg when we were at a urinal. And now, 5 years later, he's got it. We got to have it out. I went to a party at Kathy Griffin's house, and Margaret Cho pulled me into the next bedroom. She's like, oh, we need to talk. I'm sober now. And I'm like, I'm not sober, so it's cool. You are definitely harshing my Mel at this point. And she's like, I did some things. I said some things. It was way more uncomfortable than what the original offense was, ironically. Because the person was loaded and they said something stupid or they came on to you or they called you an a-hole or whatever. They're loaded. There's a context. When they get sober and they go, it's not. Here's all I'm saying. Somebody has to create a sort of a tackling dummy or the equivalent of a heavy bag or something. Go ahead, knock yourselves out with the ninth step on this one. If you want to tape my headshot to it or whoever you offended, go ahead, work on the dummy. Leave me alone with this ninth step. Have you gotten to the ninth one yet?
Well, a couple of times.
Did you call people?
Oh, yeah. I called everybody. I wrote people. I did everything.
This is Jeff. Oh, Christ.
No.
What now? Are you on the ninth step again?
If they say it's cool, we only have to apologize once. You know, and if they say it's cool, then it's cool. I don't burden them with anything.
You don't keep going?
No, I don't burden. You see, it says, made amends wherever possible to people if it won't cause them harm or others.
Well,
now, if me unloading my stuff on you is going to harm you and going to put you uncomfortable, I don't go there.
Okay. It's just that part where I go, ah, it's okay. And they go, it's not okay.
Well,
that's the part that gets, then I'm all weird
they,
now.
They may have a Nazi as a group or a sponsor, you know. Some of them
well, you
are
had,
really heavy.
You had Gary Busey help you out at one point with your 12 steps, yes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was after I did the Grease, the revival. And it was just at the beginning of when my back was really, really hurting. And I went to New York and I went to the hospital there and they gave me like an armful of different drugs to take, you know, and the drugs were putting weight on me and they were giving me like a million Vicodin to take a day. And, you know, I was doing it as they said, do. And by the time I came home, I had gained like 30 pounds. I didn't look like myself anymore. And my wife was very worried. And my friend Mark came over, Mark Mason. He came over with Gary. And they were doing a 12-step.
Must have thought it was a nightmare, hallucination.
Wow.
Gary Busey walking into the room.
Well, I'd known Gary for years.
Gary Busey helping you get sober is like you get a flat out in the desert and a guy pulls over and the Grim Reaper crawls out of the pickup truck. Do you need a hand?
Gary's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, he's a delight.
He's a wonderful guy.
Oh, well, we don't know because he was supposed to be on the show 3 weeks ago and he flaked out on it.
Yeah. So what happened is, you know, that all of a sudden they both took all of my prescription drugs and split. You know, and I'm saying, I called up Mark. I said, Mark, I need these. I could go into convulsions without these. There were pills in there, like steroids and benzos that I need. And he says, well, call your doctor and get some more because I ain't giving them back to you.
Yeah.
And Gary said to Mark, he says, is this how you do a 12-step? He said, no, this is how I do a 12-step.
Yeah, I'm sure. Gary flushed all those drugs right down the toilet.
Of course. He was helping out Jeff.
Yeah, and all you got to do is substitute the word toilet for mouth and you have your answer. Let's play a little Germany or Florida, by the way.
Back.
Well, listen, we're not on good terms because he flaked out.
Can
on
I ask a quick question, though? You say you're a Christian man now, and your old pal, Travolta, you still in touch with him?
Yeah.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
What do you think about his Scientology thing? Kooky, right?
No, I think it worked for him. You know, when John went into Scientology, he was confused and insecure and didn't know which way to go, and he found this, and it really helped him with his life. And I think anything that works.
Have you ever been recruited? John asked you if you want to go to a meeting?
He did in the beginning, but I said, I don't think it's for me. And he did some Scientology work with me once when I had taken an overdose, and I was in a coma for like 7 days.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He came and did a healing on me, and
wow.
That was the first time I woke up.
What? Why wasn't this on my card? What happened? What year was this?
You wait for my book, Psychedelic Misfit.
What year is this?
1976.
You OD on what?
On 40 Secondals, 2010 milligram Valiums, and a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Are you trying to kill yourself at that point?
Well,
that's what it sounds like.
I was drunk, you know, and so, you know, any of my suicide attempts, I was always drunk. It's not something I would ever do sober, but,
right.
You know, I get really depressed when I drink.
Right.
And something had happened that wasn't cool, and I was really hurt by it.
Woman cheating. Yes.
Boy,
that's why you kill yourself.
My face?
You don't kill yourself when your team loses unless it's the Steelers and you're Dave Damashek or your car breaks down when the woman leaves. That's because part of it is you want to die and the other part is I'll show you, bitch.
Yeah.
You'll find my corpse
that's
in this
right.
apartment.
Yeah, she found it and didn't care. She just let me sleep for days. You know, she
what?
She,
really?
Yeah.
You were in a coma?
Yeah, I was in a coma.
How did Travolta get over to the apartment? How did that work?
Well, he came to the hospital. We were good friends, you know. And he came to the hospital and did this Scientology healing stuff. And that, and as I said, that was the first time I opened my eyes. And I opened my eyes, and he's dancing around my body, you know.
Yeah, you're like Barbarino.
Like
touching, must be in heaven.
Like touching pieces of my body, you know.
Really?
Points.
Which piece?
Well, not that piece.
Okay.
that piece is private.
And he's doing like a shaman's dance over you.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, this is kind of funny and interesting. And,
right.
You know, I couldn't talk. I thought I was talking, but it was like all...
Right.
Yeah. And You know,
there's Travolta.
It helped. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a
Travolta
wonderful
singing
guy.
Grease Lightning to you, dancing around. That's
touching pressure points in
go
your body.
Grease Lightning.
All right, we need to take a break. Okay. I am now officially fascinated. Jeff Conaway is here, Celebrity Fit Club 3, Sunday, 9 o'clock on VH1. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Jeff after this.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
866-901-ADAM. How many times have you heard this song in your life, Jeff Conaway?
Oh, millions. Talk about women. When they were shooting this segment of the movie, I wasn't in it. So, you know, but they still wanted me on set. For what reason, I don't know.
A little free time in the trailer, you know, with the ladies?
We're higher in the meat, so the meat should be here.
Sure.
You know, so I use my meat all week long.
Yeah. And again, Jeff is Christian, but his penis worships the devil.
Not anymore.
All right. His sack is agnostic.
Yes.
I talked to it during the break.
It's atheistic, actually.
But John Travolta is trying to convert it to Scientology by doing a dance around it.
We learned that. When it
goes into a hole, it never screams out, "Dear God."
I everyone makes fun of Scientology, and maybe rightfully so. I had somebody trying to convert me to be a Buddhist at one point.
I was a Buddhist at one point.
I realized not such a. Huh. Her name was. Jung Hee Lee.
Oh, were you Shakabuku?
She was an adorable little girl, and she used to drag me to these Buddhist meetings, and I would go because I had nothing better to do. But it made me realize, like, and this is why I think Scientology, why I don't really make fun of it, which is, if it gets you just to sort of focus on whatever you want to focus on and achieve your goals and not hurt anybody, then so be it. I know it sounds kooky, and there's parts of Scientology that are from outer space. As long as John Travolta and Cruise aren't doing any damage and they're paying their taxes and they seem to be, they seem to be going through society without putting a knife in anyone, so be it. I don't care. And also, I do think that there's a certain, like with Buddhism, she was like, well, what do you want? I'm like, I want a TV set and I want a car. Well, then chant on it.
That's
and
right.
If you set aside an hour a day focusing on getting
it
a
works.
Car, you will get a car that much faster. It's not because of the religion. It's just put an hour aside focusing on anything a day instead of watching TiVo, and you will realize that much faster. That's right. My new religion is TiVo, by the way. Oh. I worship that guy with the antennas who's shaped like the TiVo thing.
That's good. That's good. Does he answer your prayers?
Well, he gives me more TiVo.
He gives you more TiVo.
Which is my heroin. Jeff Conaway is here, by the way, from the Celebrity Fit Club 3. We're Sunday nights on VH1. We're going to play a little something. And here's the other thing, too. I don't judge, but if you'd gotten into Scientology when Travolta wanted you to get into Scientology in 1978, perhaps things would have turned out different. Perhaps you wouldn't have had the drug use or the alcohol or the suicide attempts. You'd be gay, but you would have, you would be sober.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd rather have a bottle in my mouth than a bleep.
In your
but you, Carolla, remain a conundrum.
Because
if Scientology gets a pass, people involved, all the things in the world you have to complain about, these kooks.
I'm sure if I did an investigation of it, I would be appalled. But because I only have a passing and sort of casual knowledge of it, and the only people I know are like Travolta. And what's her name
fortune.
From Darman Greg? It doesn't seem to bother me.
Yeah, there you go. It's expensive.
It costs a fortune. They bleed you. I mean, look, if it works, it's great. And I probably should have done it because I would have avoided a lot of headaches and heartache in my life. But it ain't cheap.
How much is it?
You take 30% or something like that.
It costs a fortune.
Like a tithing.
I mean, John has spent a lot of money on it. I remember when he was starting to dress it, it was $250. I said, $250? What's the matter with God?
Yeah.
He doesn't cost anything, you know? I mean, you go into some science fiction writer who's God.
Right.
I mean, you know, isn't there something wrong there? And they wouldn't allow him back in the United States? You know, there's got to be something a little tricky going on
here.
All
right. Well, I'm with you.
You know, and I meet Scientologists, you know, and what they do now is they don't say it's Scientology. Mm-hmm. They just give you their
personality test.
Philosophy on life, you know. And since I know a little bit about it, I go, you're trying to talk me into going to Scientology, you know. And they go, okay, all right, that's true, you know. But they sneak up on you.
But how about a little networking? You know, you go over to the Celebrity Center, you roll out the prayer carpet, your book ended by Cruz and Travolta. You start worshiping the bust of L. Ron Hubbard.
Well, you start talking a little business.
You go gay, and you start talking about your next project, and they kiss you right into it.
See, speaking of my next project, it's a movie called St. John Smith. Directors Ethan Dettenmeyer, and it's a thriller, suspense, horror movie. And
when's that coming out?
Well, we're just shooting it. We're just starting to shoot it next week, so it'd probably be, you know, a year. You know, it usually takes a year for a movie to come out, 9 months, something like that.
What's your part?
I play a priest, and I end up getting horribly, awfully killed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They really do a number on me.
Well, what's the point in seeing it now?
Yeah.
Well, you want to see Jeff Conaway die?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
I'm sure Tempest or Kelly
or Charity
would love to see me die.
Travolta will bring you back.
Or dance around
your corpse. You'll be alive in minutes.
Yes, you call Kelly LeBrock during the commercial, Kelly LaF. I can't say the whole thing, but it's amusing.
Jamie made time with her.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know.
Did you ever make time with Kelly?
No, I tried talking to her, but she was very cold.
Right.
I mean, I try to make friends with everybody. That's what I do. And she was just very cold to the whole... I think she was a little miffed that I was captain and she wasn't. You know, I got that vibe from her.
Yeah, Captain Morgan.
Well, when I called her up, to say, you know, are you... You know, how's it going? Are you doing the diet? It's just, oh, yeah, I'm eating the fruits and vegetables. I'm exercising, you know, doing everything. Okay, goodbye.
There wasn't much...
It
breaks my heart because I've seen Weird Science 1,000 times.
She's beautiful.
She was so hot in that. She's still attractive, but it's a little tough when the woman...
gorgeous eyes. Incredible eyes.
Right. Well, listen, Steven Seagal dirtied her forever anyway.
That's true. She's poison now. Yeah, that's right. She's like a car that's been totaled. You can take it to the body shop, but it always pulls a little to the left and the door doesn't shut right. That's what Seagal will do to a woman. Total her out. Repo. Jamie?
Yeah, Adam.
All right, now you've been on hold because we're going to play some Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
Germany or Florida?
Now, here's how it works, Jeff. He reads us the bizarre story, and then we guess. Is it Germany or Florida? Where did it take place? Because all the bizarre ass in life happens in either Germany or Florida. Go ahead, Jamie.
Or in my life.
All right. First, I want to say I'm a big fan of this show.
Thanks.
Everybody there is doing a great job. All right, here's the story. A 56-year-old man has confessed to bludgeoning his roommate to death with a sledgehammer handle after an argument that started over an empty roll of toilet paper.
Oh, God.
Wow.
The man confessed to using the work tools to strike through the victim, who is so badly beaten, he had to be identified through fingerprints.
Wow. All right, so Germany or Florida killed a guy with a sledgehammer because he used up the TP. Bad. And by the way, when you're 50 and you have a male roommate, things aren't going according to plan.
Well, maybe you're a Scientologist.
Ooh, yes, more of a life partner that used up the TP.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you go that direction sexually, you have to use copious amounts of toilet paper, I found.
You bet, because you're bleeding.
Yeah. Well, like a surgeon needs to wash his hands a lot, you know what I mean?
You wash your butt a lot.
All right.
Conaway delights himself to no end. I love it. I'll say this.
Yes.
I'll weigh in.
Go ahead.
I will say Florida, and here's why. Because I've never met a European who cares that much about cleaning himself, let alone his rear end, that he would kill someone
right.
over it.
German's pretty
it's Florida.
Fastidious people, though. Jeff, what do you say? How say you?
I think it's Florida, too.
Florida?
It just sounds like two New Yorkers moved to Florida and got it on.
Rachel Perry?
I'm not. Is recluse the right word? I have to step back from this one because...
you know the answer.
I know the answer already.
All right.
Recuse.
Noel. Right. See, I don't know anything. I didn't know that, but I do know the answer.
It's a good word, though.
Mike Lynch, sound effects man.
I also have to recluse myself.
Okay. So we have two Floridas. I'm going
to
go...
Excuse me, I have to wipe myself.
I'm going to go toward the back. I don't want you poisoning your private parts, you know.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'll take that under advisement.
We will. I'm going to go Germany on this one just to break it up. Jeff Conaway has Florida. Dave Damashek has Florida. And I am going to go with Germany. Jamie, what is the answer?
Well, it was actually in a mobile home, if that could be a clue.
Yeah.
It is
Florida.
Indeed Florida.
Wow. Of course.
Yeah,
it is.
All right. One for the team.
Well, thank you, Jamie.
No problem, Adam.
Well, let's send him something, one of those.
Then as he's like
this,
he'll they don't kill people for dirty rectums.
Germany, send him a jackhammer.
Florida.
All right, I want to thank Jeff Conaway for coming in and being
a delight. Thank you very much. I just have one thing that
yes,
I want to add.
Yes, go ahead.
Lately I've been working with a company in Vegas called Tahiti Village Consolidated Resorts.
I think I've heard the spots.
Yeah, well, you may have. I mean, it's a great deal for all your listeners. Now, get a pencil and a piece of paper, because I'm going to give you a number, 888-30-GO-NOW. And if you call that number, 888-30-GO-NOW, you will get 3 days and two nights in Vegas at a major resort on the Strip and not pay a dime for it.
What's the catch? There's got to be a
catch. Well, it's a grand celebration of the opening of Tahiti Village, but it's not really a catch. You get yourself there, and then we take care of the lodgings, and you go to Tahiti Village.
That's where we shot my gay porn, by the way, in the 80s. Not the same Tahiti Village. This was a motel.
It was found next to the Tropicana Hotel,
yes.
right?
Yes.
You go and you visit Tahiti Village for about an hour. You see the rooms, the suites. They're absolutely gorgeous. They're decorated. You got big-time flat-screen TVs.
You're going to be there?
I go down there occasionally.
You and Busey hanging there?
Not Busey, but I go down there and I say hello to the folks, and if you're lucky, I'll give you a hickey. That's part of the deal, a hickey from Kinnicky. And that's all you have to do. And
all right.
The number again is 888-30-GO-NOW. That's for a second honeymoon of 3 days and two nights at a major resort in Vegas. And
yes.
Call that number. If
all
you
right.
call it
that's
in the next 15
pimping.
Minutes, okay.
That's enough.
They
pimping.
Cut me off.
You get, come
anyway.
Up with another good Travolta story. I'll let you give the number out one more time.
Okay.
Come on, something good.
Go Grease
did
Lightning.
Did he come on to you? Did he ever come on to you?
No. When people say he's gay, I said, I don't know because he never sucked my bleep.
Right.
You know?
You should be a publicist.
Yes, I should be. I should be a politician, actually.
Yes.
Kinnicky's song was Grease Lightning
right.
in the movie.
Yes.
And John took it.
Mm.
He wanted to sing it. And I'm saying, John, it's a song about my car.
Right.
You're going to sing about my car. And my manager and the director and the choreographer saying, John, it doesn't mean, he says, but I want to do it.
He wrestled it away from you.
Yeah, he wrestled it away
I
from
don't
me.
Like that.
Well, I didn't like it either, but he was one of my closest friends, and I couldn't understand why he was screwing me.
Well,
but,
he wanted to do,
you know,
he wanted to do everything.
Because he's gay.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but why, when he wrestled it away, I have no idea why he had his pants off. That was going too far.
Well, you know, he's... He looks good with his pants off, actually.
All right, so it's a little bad blood that he took your song away from you.
I forgave him. My life is about love and forgiveness.
Okay.
You know, I eventually forgive people. Maybe I don't right away. When they keep on playing it over and over on television, it kind of rustles me the wrong way.
All right, I'll let you give the number out one more time now for that
stuff.
Okay,
3 days, 2 nights in Vegas. We're picking it up. It's 888-30 go now. Do yourself a favor. You deserve it. 888-30 go now. I'll see you there.
Jeff Conaway. Jeff, here's the deal. Every Travolta story you give us, you get another plug. You can say the number one more time, all right? You come back anytime. Celebrity Fifth Club 3. Sunday nights, 9 o'clock, VH1. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports after
this.
Hey,
it was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Conaway's left the studio.
He was a good guest.
I will take crazy over smart any day.
Yeah.
As
I liked
a guest.
Him.
Yeah, I liked him too.
And so I think he's just so smart he is crazy.
Mm. He's like a Bond villain.
Well, he's like idiot savant of prescription medication. He knows everything.
Yes, he's a self-medicated Rain Man.
Yeah.
He drops a thing of Xanax. He knows exactly how many are on the floor. And then Gary Busey.
It was interesting when he was discussing a suicide attempt back in the 70s. He had itemized what he took. I took 42 Xanax. He was really went pill by pill. Fascinating.
Yeah.
You can feel he's like a sad, sensitive, like, you know what I mean?
Yep. No, listen, he will, there's no doubt, first off, that he'll be back to this show, and also no doubt that he will wrestle Rachel Perry away from her man.
I was just about to say, it sounds like someone's in love.
He's attractive.
He's an attractive, older, distinguished gentleman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Not unlike Tad to my left, to my right.
Yes, not unlike Tad. Tad is
to your right and your left. How dare you?
Tad, he's in front of you, he's behind you. Tad is going to weigh in tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
The challenge was to lose 8.5 pounds, get you down to 303.5. You lost 6 or 7, was it? 7? Last time we did this?
I thought I lost 10.
You lost 10.
Oh, yeah.
I lost 10.
He lost 10. That's right. I'm sorry.
The challenge was 7.
The challenge was 7. You lost 10.
Yeah.
You got the perfect 10 models going to Vegas with them. All that good stuff. Now, I also hear word on the street is you had another enema yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
The hell?
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do to win this thing. So
yeah.
I went, yeah.
Let me tell you this. If I was working at the enema clinic and I saw Big Tad pull up in the parking lot in his citation, his 86 citation with the thing he has to blow into it so he can get the ignition started, mandated by the government. If I saw you waddle out of that thing and start walking toward the clinic, I would take my lunch break immediately. I'm just models with eating disorders. That's who I'll only work on, not manatees and citations. So you had it. How many times did they cycle you?
I think it was 16 this time.
16 times.
Anything come out?
Yeah. Do you really want to go?
Well, yes, I do. I want to know because you haven't been eating anything.
Yeah. Mucus came out.
Oh.
I love the face.
Oh, nothing makes me vomit faster than mucus.
But what's cool about it? It gives you more energy. Once the mucus comes out, I'm feeling way finer than I did yesterday.
Finer.
Finer.
Wow, you are fine, Ted.
I'm so fine.
All right, you two done over there?
Sorry.
What the hell is going on?
Sorry.
All right, that's all right. Ted lulls you to sleep. It makes you think you're not on the radio.
Hey, come on,
everybody. All right, so Tad, tomorrow you weigh in.
Yeah.
And your goal weight is 303.5.
Yes, sir.
8.5 pounds. That is your challenge, my friend.
It's been brutal.
If you get to 303.5 tomorrow, you will have dropped about 30 pounds since we started this show.
Yes, sir.
All right. Feeling good?
I'm being confident.
Now, if you win, you
NASCAR.
He gets a NASCAR.
Oh, you get the whole NASCAR pit pass and all that stuff. And if you lose, we're going to dress you up as a Girl Scout, and you have to go out into a crowded intersection and sell Girl Scout cookies for the day on Friday.
Not right? going to happen.
All right. All right. We'll see. 8.5 is a lot of tonnage.
Yeah.
Let's move forward now, Tad.
Okay, dokie.
Excuse yourself, and it's time for Rachel Perry in the news.
I think he should actually excuse himself.
Excuse yourself, then.
8 workers from a meat processing plant in Nebraska won the $365 million Powerball jackpot. They're taking the lump sum payment and are each going to get $15.5 million after taxes.
Yeah, I've seen these hillbillies on the TV. They were on a few moments ago. Oh, my God. Greasy bangs, bad mustaches, all wearing sunglasses, looking like a...
They look like gang members.
They look like well, the one guy looks like a gangbanger, and the rest of them just look like extras from the Bob and Doug McKenzie movie from the 80s. Yeah, it's great to give. Let me just say this. I got to go on a quick rant. First off, this is gambling, everybody. You give money for the opportunity or the chance to win money. It's gambling. That's what gambling is. Now, because it's state-sponsored, for some reason it's okay, and because the schools somehow are going to see some money, and by the way, I never hear about them getting any money, and if so, I want to know where it's going, because out here, at least, the school systems have never been worse. This is gambling. Of course, people are going to gamble when you make it legal. I mean, when you condone it, when the state condones it. And I would argue that it's not only gambling, it's gambling for people who can't afford to gamble. The guys I know who bet on the NFL, the guys I know who play blackjack and do other things like that. Oh, yeah, good note. I've got to talk about this for a second. These guys have money to gamble. The people who you see wearing the house coat and the slippers, who've hammered their welfare checks in order for a chance at a dream, this is the people I don't want gambling. These are the people I don't want gambling.
Yeah.
And I think it sends a horrible message, which is you have no life. You have no shot at life. It's never going to work out. This is your only chance out of this hellhole. That's what it's saying. That's what the lottery is saying. What the lottery is saying to the good citizens of this country is, you got no shot. You're going to work in that factory your whole life. Don't worry about it. You got one shot. Oh, it's a long shot, but you got one shot at happiness. You ever want to own that house outright? You want to own and not rent? You want a nice car? You want a nice vacation? Here's your only shot. It's a horrible message to send to poor people.
And
really
I would submit it enhances depression because you buy a ticket, and in between the time you purchase the ticket and the time they announce the winning numbers, which you don't have, you spend that money in your head.
Right.
Oh, when I have the $10 million, here's what I'll do. Then you say, oh, I didn't win. Back to my crappy reality.
Yes.
And now I'm extra bummed out.
And, you know, the people that are worried about the NSA tapping their phone and all that stuff, they should really focus on the fact that you win $360 million and you get to keep $30 million. That's what you need to focus on. The government taking half that money, not paying you. By the way, you want to be paid over 4,000 years? Or would you rather have a very small lump, a very small percentage of the money you won? What? Who made this deal? I won the money. Give me the money. How else does that work, by the way? Do you go to a casino in Vegas and you hit the jackpot and they go, oh, okay, Mr. Carolla, you want to be paid over 10,000 years? You get a quarter every month? Or do you want half of this $5,000 jackpot? No, I'd like my jackpot. I won.
Yeah, they're much more reasonable. 10% VIG, that's all.
That's all. All right. Speaking of gambling, by the way, and then we'll get back to Rachel in the news. I decided yesterday, or maybe it was Sunday, after going to Dave Damashek's wedding, that I needed to get him a gift. I couldn't figure out what to get him, and then I figured, well, hell, I'll just give him a check. And then I thought, oh, why not have fun with it? So Friday, you will draw to see which check you get. Instead of just cutting you a check, instead of just giving you $500 or something and calling it a day, why not give you the opportunity of $5,000 or, better yet, $5?
Well, now, better yet for you. But yeah.
For me, yes.
I love it.
You like it.
Listen, I can gamble. I'm in a position where I can gamble because I'm already a winner, thanks to my lovely bride.
I will. She did look lovely on Sunday. I will bring in my checkbook on Friday. I will cut 5 checks. $5,000 at the top, $5 at the bottom, maybe $1,000 for the in-between, maybe a $250 and a $500 or something like that. And Dave will reach into it, and it'll be luck of the draw.
But if I get the $5,000, do I have to feel guilty? But why, do I feel guilty about cashing that check, or you'll be
you're
like,
not
oh, that's
cash
so
it. No. You're not going to get out of the studio.
Oh,
with it.
All right.
No, you will get it, and you will cash it, just like my father happily cashed his check when I cut him one for like $2,400.
And there won't be any ill will if I have $5,000?
None at all, because the same way I hope you don't have any ill will toward me if you pull the $5 check.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
No.
Okay. So
nice.
We'll do it, Braska. We'll get it set up. Yeah.
I like
Wonderful.
That.
That's going to be fun.
It'll be fun. We'll do it on Friday. All right, Rachel. I'm sorry. The Powerball. Yes.
That's awesome.
No, I was just thinking about the my dad has played the lottery his whole entire life. The same numbers. He plays them all the time. And I would say that he's probably lost way more money than he's ever won. He's had a couple. Little, like, $3,000 jackpots in here.
Well, do the math, by the way. And first off, if you losers who play the lottery were lucky, it would have reared its head by now. The fact that you're 45 and you're wearing slippers outdoors suggests to me that maybe you don't have the luck of the Irish. Maybe things aren't going according to plan. Why you get lucky now? You have 3 DUIs and you still live at home and you're on disability. Would you call yourself charmed? No. Stop being losers. Pick yourself up and go get a gig. And if you want a better life, then go study at night. Would you please? And let's stop this nonsense. It's a horrible message. It's lottery. Thank you, Powerball. And then the idiots who, I'm not going to play until it gets, once it goes north of $3 million, then I'm, $300 million, then I'm in. I don't get off my sofa for anything less than $250 million. All right.
There's a new study that says there's a strong basis that genetic...
The more you know. Thank you.
There's a strong basis that genetic information on one of the X chromosomes that men receive from their mother might control gay. Yes, because apparently, you know, women have 2 X chromosomes, and they studied like women who have they studied all sorts of women, but then they apparently the women who have like 1 X chromosome will like recede and one will come to the forefront or whatever, and the one with the women who have gay sons, like I guess it's the active one, or I don't know.
So you're saying it's in the DNA?
It's in the DNA, maybe. Well, they can't. I mean, it's
Look,
just one study.
It's not your people's fault.
Just one study.
It's in the DNA. That's what we're saying.
This is funny. funny, haha. Death.
Right.
A teenager in Singapore died jumping on his bed, mimicking a rock guitarist because he got so excited he fell out an open window.
Wow.
Fell 3 stories to his death.
Sad.
Death is funny.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, laugh along with us.
It's just, you know, it's the problem. Here's what you should try to avoid in your life. Dying any way that happened that was made fun of, like in the Three Stooges or in one of these slapstick comedies. You know, if you get hit in the head with a frying pan and it kills you, everyone just laughs. If you're bouncing on a bed and go sailing out the window, everyone laughs. Now, if you get hit with a baseball bat in the head, it's tragic. Frying pan, that's funny.
Quickly.
Fall off a scaffolding and die. Tragic. Fly out of a window bouncing on a bed. Funny. So that's the whole point. Try not to die in a way that was made famous in the 30s by Shemp and Moe and company. The more you know. That's right.
Now, your cause.
That's my cause. And the lottery.
Quickly, in entertainment, Us Weekly saying that Nicole Kidman is marrying Keith Urban in March in Australia.
Oh, it's going
to
last.
What happened
it's
to her,
last
by
forever.
The way? I saw her at the Grammys. What? I mean, she just fell off the
I'll
cliff.
You
she was hot one day. The next day, she looks like Cruella DeVille.
I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what happened. She's crazy. I think she's crazy, and eventually crazy kicks in. And you can hold crazy at bay for a long time. You can be hot and crazy and sort of keep it, and then eventually, boom, it just comes flying out, and you start looking crazy, and you start looking old and whatever. She held it at bay for like 20 years, and now it's out. She just seems insane to me, and it just seemed to hit all of a sudden. It's like when somebody, it's almost like a disease, you know, when somebody's, they're an athlete and they're strong and they're virile and all of a sudden cut down. cancer. Boom. 6 months later, pow. Mm. That's what crazy is. I think she's nuts, and that's what happened to her.
Oh, she's frightening looking.
And finally, I just saw this from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Flea says that their new album coming out May 9th is their grand statement. The best that they can do. This is the best we're capable of. If you don't like this record, you don't like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, period. So that's my challenge to you.
Well, now I like them. Now I'm down with them because I like when people do that. The bass playing equivalent to pointing to the bleachers in right field.
Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
We'll talk winter games in a moment, but first, NBA last night, the Clippers were down in Dallas, and they lost their fourth straight game. Hold it together, Clippers. Make Please. The playoffs for once. The other team in L.A., the Kobe's, they beat up on Portland. Seattle lost at San Antonio. Sacramento over Golden State. Back to the winter games now. The ladies skating off the hook. Sasha Cohen in the lead over Ivana Slutskaya.
Slutskaya.
The Russian fellas go wild for her.
A dirty martini, shaken, not stirred, and go up to the top shelf and get the Slutskaya vodka. That's the best.
I want to really get loose tonight. The speed skating yesterday, there was supposed to be, a meeting of the two rivals, the Americans, Chad Hedrick and Shawnee Davis. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to fight it out, but an Italian fella snuck ahead of them both and won the gold medal. These two, this Hedrick and Shawnee Davis, who we've been talking about, the first African-American man to win a gold medal in the winter
over
games.
Over the moon. I would describe him as over the moon.
Yes, he's a delightful fella. He has a rivalry with this Hedrick, who seems like a decent fella. And here's Shawnee Davis about the rivalry yesterday at the press conference.
Since me and Chad, we're fighting for the same thing, you know, and he wants to win, I want to win. It would have been nice. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. Would have been nice if after the 1,000-meter, he could have been a good teammate and shook my hand, just like I shook his hand hugged him after he won the 5,000-meter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
And that's it for Shawnee. He gets up in the press conference, sitting next to Chad Hedrick, and walks out.
Wow.
That's the end of the press conference.
Can we hear? Now, who did we hear earlier this morning? Chad?
This is also, here's a little Shawnee from the weekend, just after becoming the first.
Over the moon, elated.
Winning the gold.
You are the first African-American male to win a gold medal at the Winter Games. How proud are you of that?
I'm pretty happy about it.
That's it?
Oh.
Okay. Your mom, Sherry, you credit her with much of your success. Is this medal as much for her as it is for you?
Yeah, she earned it too.
Are you angry, Shawnee?
No, I'm happy. I have a loss for words right now.
All right, you sure do look happy.
Wow.
He's a lot of fun.
Dig from the perky reporter. I
hope he'll stop by. I think I'm pretty sure that was Melissa Stark, the lovely Melissa Stark.
Good. Why not? Look, if these guys are being a-holes, why not give them a little jab? And by the way, you didn't just win the Super Bowl. You won some speed skating and go right back to anonymity as soon as you return to the Los Angeles area or wherever you're from.
Fun guy. I hope
that's a delight.
He'll probably end up playing golf with another fun guy named Barry Bonds. Spring training's underway, of course. Giants had their first team workout scheduled yesterday. Everybody made the scene except for Barry. I feel bad for San Francisco fans, for the other players and stuff who have to apologize for him constantly. Mm-hmm. Barry being Barry. And his agent has to apologize to him for explaining his absence, saying it was a personal matter. At the 10-2, and I was at the press conference and
you went up to Frisco.
A little deeper into what this personal business was
Scott
all about.
Style. Sorry.
Yeah.
I want to state for the record, Barry Bonds did not miss the Giants team workout because he was scoring steroids.
Well, nobody suggested he was.
I know. That's why I said it.
But then it's a weird thing to bring up.
So then why are you talking about it?
Well, I wouldn't be if you hadn't mentioned it.
Who did?
You!
No, you!
Alright, now you're just being childish.
Now you're just being childish!
Cut it out.
You cut it out!
How about this? Just tell us where he was.
He was scoring steroids.
Wow. A lot of people taking pictures of your conversation.
I know. And talking, which I thought was rude.
Yeah, why please, hold it down.
I'm having a conversation.
Yes.
But the main point is, I thought that guy was a jerk.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah,
or was that just me being touchy?
Yeah.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. I think my assistant Lindsay's going to come in here and sing her karaoke song. We started it a few months ago. We haven't gotten to everybody. There's a few stragglers. Lindsay, the beautiful blonde Lindsay, will be in here. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Hey, this is Peter Griffin, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. We'll try to be fast here because we're pressed for time. The lovely Lindsay, my assistant Lindsay.
Thanks, Adam.
Some woman.
Beautiful. What's it like working for me, Lindsay? Be honest.
It's torturous. No, actually, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Well,
yes.
Now I know you're lying. It's anything but fun.
No, when I leave at the end of the day, I'm pretty happy and content with my job.
Really?
Yes.
All right. How would you describe me as a boss?
In one word?
It's definite.
Just one word?
No. You can use more than one word.
Laid back. Gives good advice. A guy's guy.
Sorry.
Because, of course, the opposite of that is you're not you're a ladies' man.
Then you.
Yeah. I've never come on to you, right?
No.
Yeah. See, Lindsay's beautiful. The important, and the thing, my wife doesn't get jealous, though, because I've deemed her not my type.
Nicely
it's
done.
Smart. You're just getting married, Dave. You need to do this. You have a type, and then when someone doesn't fit that type, your wife doesn't worry about it.
Exactly. I mean, the old way of going about it was, Lindsay's beautiful. Oh, is she? I mean, that's a little obvious. Don't go that route.
Right. That's right. Don't play stupid. You got eyeballs. All right, Lindsay, you have a song for us?
Yes, I do.
Well, let's hear it. Pinball Wizard?
Yes, I knew you're a big Who fan.
Yeah.
I remember the argument with Daniel Callison during the Too Late meeting.
Sure. Yelling at him. You like the Stones better than the Who. Now where is he? That's right.
Ever since I was a young girl, I've been a distance runner. From Connecticut to Cali, I've run 6 marathons. But I've never run so fast for any boss before. That Super American Genius sure means Ace Carolla.
Wow, bumpy, but I like the lyrics.
Spoken word.
He stands as a boxer without an ounce of Metro. I research all his sports and help Mike August with guests. I'm happy with my job and laugh at all his jokes. That super comedic genius sure means Ace Carolla.
Again, it lacks in flow, but in sincerity, you got to give it a 10.
He's a JC dropout, there has to be a twist. A former carpenter with such an honest wit.
Wow, I like this.
How do you think he does it? What makes him so smart?
Wow.
He gives me free life advice and takes good care of his wife. He's never high maintenance and appreciates his people. Always has an answer, never backing down. That super American genius sure means Ace Carolla.
All right, I can't take it
anymore.
I thought
we were supposed to, these songs were supposed to introduce the world to you, not to how you love Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that was the first verse was all about my running.
She said she did a 10K once.
Where's the Ass Kiss Rodeo theme?
All right, nice work, sweetie.
I haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Oh, you don't need to now.
Good work, Lindsay.
Well, I've saved my job, so.
Right. All right. Now, I'm going to need you to change my adult diaper. I want to thank Jeff Conaway for coming in here, Pat O'Brien, Roy Horn for calling in, and Louis C.K. at Cobbs in San Francisco tonight and tomorrow. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.